slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The United States Marine Corps cordially invites you to celebrate the 246th birthday of our Corps, November 10th at noon at the Veterans Grove in front of the Civic Auditorium. Event will take 30 minutes and include the presentation of colors, national anthem, recognizing the oldest and youngest Marines, and more. Birthday cake will be served at the conclusion of the ceremony. That's November 10th at noon at the Veterans Grove in front of the Civic Auditorium. Semper Fi.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with VPN, so should you. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Virginia is now down to the wire, and Democrats are deeply upset about it. The polls are showing it is neck and neck between Glenn Youngkin, the Republican in that race, and Terry McAuliffe, the former Virginia governor and head of the DNC. McAuliffe should have been running away with this race. Remember that Hillary Clinton won this state going away. Joe Biden won this state going away. And now you got a neck and neck race between Glenn Youngkin, who's a pretty traditional Republican, and Terry McAuliffe, who's a normally traditional Democrat. And this should be a walkover, which is why James Carville, the semi-centrist Democrat analyst, he's saying he's deeply worried about what's going on in Virginia. And they should be.
We're in a very tight race, and Democrats need to be activated. I do think that Trump has a tug against Youngkin. I've seen a lot of research on that. Of course, he said he wouldn't be running without Trump, then he tries to run away from him. He's kind of slippery, but yeah, it's close. There's no doubt about it, and I'm scared to death. And other Democrats should be.
Okay, what Carville is pointing out here is that all of the attempts to tie Youngkin to Trump have failed, and that is why Youngkin is doing well. Right now, all of the polls show that he is neck and neck with McAuliffe. And the reason for that is because people are focusing on the bread and butter issues. Suburban moms are focusing in on the failures of education in the state of Virginia. And it's not just about the Virginia gubernatorial race. According to Politico, the Virginia House is up for grabs as well. Quote, Alex Askew knows firsthand how tight elections can get for Democrats in Virginia. He barely won his seat in the state House of Delegates, defeating his Republican opponent by 802 votes in 2019. That's why Askew is campaigning furiously ahead of the November election. On the first Sunday of Souls to the Polls early voting over the weekend, Askew, 36, attended two church services before an afternoon of campaign events and canvassing. He was joined by a colleague, State Delegate Nancy Guy, who clinched her seat by an even closer margin of just 40 votes. When Virginia voters cast their ballots in 2 weeks, they're not just weighing in on a closely watched governor's election, one that's been hyped as a bellwether ahead of the 2022 midterms and a judgment on President Joe Biden. They're also deciding whether to keep legislative Democrats in office, a choice that will determine how much statewide power the party will yield and reveal voter satisfaction with the crush of progressive laws enacted in the last 2 years. Remember, Virginia, when it went blue, started immediately pushing very radical measures that a large percentage of Virginians didn't like, everything from gun control to transgender bathrooms. Virginia might become increasingly blue at the presidential level, but Democrats only came to control both chambers of the state legislature in 2019 after nearly two decades of mostly Republican control. And next month, they could lose control of both the governor's mansion and the House all in one day. It is a disaster for Democrats because they overshot the mark. Democrats have a nasty habit of taking power and then believing that their entire radical mandate has now been approved by the voters. That is not true. Democrats spent the last 2 years passing a long list of sweeping policies. They implemented criminal justice reform, legalized marijuana, expanded voting rights, raised the minimum wage, enacted gun control, repealed the death penalty, and set a goal of getting Virginia electric utilities to 100% renewable generation by 2050. State House Democrats have raised almost twice as much money as the Republicans, but they're still struggling. And it's a real problem. And one of the reasons it's a real problem is because the battle between parents and teachers is growing extraordinarily serious in Loudoun County, particularly. A shocking story out of WTOP.com today. Remember, we reported at Daily Wire the news that there was an alleged sexual assault in a bathroom at a Loudoun County public school. And the parent of the daughter in that particular case then went to a school board meeting where one of the superintendents of the school board said that there had been no such assault on record in a bathroom anywhere. Well, now it turns out that that guy was just lying. According to an email uncovered, the superintendent of Loudoun County Public Schools did send a brief confidential email to school board members on May 28th, the same day a female student at Stonebridge High School said she was sexually assaulted in the bathroom. In an email provided to WTOP by the school system, Superintendent Scott Ziegler alerted the board that the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office was investigating the incident but provided few details. The purpose of this email is to provide you with information regarding an incident that occurred at Stonebridge High School. This afternoon, a female student alleged that a male student sexually assaulted her in a restroom. The LCSO is investigating the matter, according to Ziegler. Last week, Ziegler apologized for the school system's reaction to recent sexual assaults by students and outlined steps he said would improve the system going forward. That assault was not made public until the victim's father told the Daily Wire that the same 15-year-old charged in the daughter's attack was later charged with groping a different girl at Broad Run High School on October 6th. Loudoun County Commonwealth Attorneys Buddha Bibaraj told WTOP the same 15-year-old has been charged in both crimes. Bibaraj said the boy was on pretrial electronic monitoring for the May 28th sexual assault when he was charged with sexual battery and abduction for the October incident. Remember, Ziegler had said in public that they had no record of anybody being assaulted in a bathroom. Bill Stanley, the attorney representing the family, said in a statement, Ziegler's comments confirmed what the family already believed, that the school's board and administration failed to provide a safe environment for their child. This has become a gubernatorial issue, of course, because the Republican candidate Youngkin has been accusing the county of a cover-up and noting that the school system run by the teachers' unions has been doing a poor job of protecting students and failing to indoctrinate them as well. In a Thursday statement, LCPS said it was releasing Ziegler's email after it received a number of questions from community members regarding it and if and when the school board was made aware of the alleged sexual assault. The school board was not provided specific details or the names of those involved and were advised by Dr. Ziegler that they would not receive updates regarding this matter as it was being investigated by the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office. So the big question is why Ziegler answered no to a school board member's question about whether he was aware of sexual assaults in school bathrooms. Ziegler said he wrongly interpreted the question as incidents involving transgender and gender-fluid students, since the questions moments earlier had been about the county's transgender policy. But if the entire line of questioning was about whether girls are at higher risk if boys can come into the bathroom, then that seems like a relevant consideration. So people are going to lose their jobs over this as well. They should. Meanwhile, in an attempt to fight back, Terry McAuliffe is activating the teachers' unions. Not only are the teachers' unions actually cutting ads on behalf of Terry McAuliffe in Virginia, it turns out that the teachers' unions are now using public dollars in order to stump for Terry McAuliffe. There's no other way to interpret what is happening in, for example, Richmond. According to WWBT, in a Richmond Public School direct update on Wednesday evening, Superintendent Jason Camras said the division will be closing school additional days the first week of November to help with employees' mental health. Now, that sounds like it might be kind of a coincidence, right? Because students already had off November 2nd for Election Day. November 4th for Diwali, November 5th for virtual parent-teacher conferences. Now, the division is going to close November 1st and November 3rd. So, namely, the day before the election, they're going to close the schools so the teachers can go out and knock doors. That's exactly what is going on here. There's no other way to read that. Okay, that is not about the teachers experiencing mental stress. Poor teachers. It's about a pretty obvious gambit to get the teachers to get out there and canvass votes. As National Review points out, the statement could have been designed in a laboratory to annoy parents. It has everything. Unacceptably short notice, the rank prioritization of teachers over children, an acknowledgement that government employees failed to do their jobs, an absurd safetyist rationale. Oh, and also the notion that COVID-19 is responsible for this, all in time for Election Day. So Virginia is a real bellwether for the Democrats. If this thing is even close, Democrats are going to be in an utter state of panic. And this is why, and Terry McAuliffe has been doing a horrible job of this, because all he's been doing is downplaying parent concerns this entire election cycle. How long can you do this before parents rebel? Terry McAuliffe yesterday, for example, he was asked about trans students in sports, and instead of taking the question seriously, he suggested that really nobody should worry about it because there are very few trans students in sports, which makes no difference if a competitive boy is running against girls.
We're talking about a very infinitesimal amount of students. And why is it, why? These children are already going through such tough challenges. Why is it that people are trying to make their life so difficult? I come from a place, you know, I got big ideas. We've got to move education forward. And why are we picking on children? Why are we going after children who are already dealing with so many challenges? Why are we not helping them and trying to lift them up and trying to find an avenue path so that they can get that education and feel comfortable?
Good line of attack here by Terry McAuliffe, that if you are a parent who is concerned about a boy racing against your girl or wrestling your girl or being in a bathroom with your girl, that this means that you are somehow a bigot. It's a strong move by him. And the Biden administration, by the way, has taken up this message at the national level. You'll recall that it became a national controversy when, because of cases like Loudoun County, the DOJ started talking about how they were going to investigate parents as possible domestic terrorists. So Merrick Garland, who is supposed to be, remember, this kind of nonpartisan figure. You remember when Barack Obama nominated him for the Supreme Court, and then he was denied his confirmation hearings because of Senator McConnell. And the notion was that he was going to be just, you know, a completely nonpartisan justice. He wasn't going to be just a hack. Well, turns out he's a hack. Garland, in testimony yesterday, admits that he initiated that DOJ targeting of parents because of a specific letter from the National School Board Association. They wrote a letter to the DOJ saying that parents were out of control and like domestic terrorists, and the DOJ flipped and, boom, started investigating parents. Here's Merrick Garland admitting it.
First sentence of your memo, very first sentence, you said, in recent months, there's been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, threats of violence.
Yes.
When did you first review the data showing this so-called disturbing uptick?
So I read the letter, and we have been seeing over time threats.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't ask you. So you read the letter. That's your source?
So let me be clear. This is not a prosecution or an
investigation. Is there some study, some effort, some investigation someone did that said there's been a disturbing uptick, or you just take the words of the National School Board Association?
Well, the National School Board Association, which represents thousands of school boards and school board members, says that there are these kind of threats.
Unbelievable. So basically, the National School Boards Association, because they wish to defend school boards against parents, send a letter to the DOJ. The DOJ just says, how high should we jump? Pretty incredible stuff. Well, Terry McAuliffe is flailing. He's already called in Barack Obama in order to try and shore up his campaign. And now, unbelievably, he's going to try and call in Joe Biden, which is a giant fail, according to Fox News, as the polls show the Virginia gubernatorial election neck and neck between former Governor Terry McAuliffe and Republican candidate Glenn Youngkin. President Biden is scheduled to appear with the Democrat on the campaign trail. I'm sure that'll be a barn burner. The McAuliffe campaign put out a media advisory alerting the press that Biden would campaign with McAuliffe in Arlington on Tuesday, exactly 1 week before the election. McAuliffe announced the Biden event along with a slew of other events featuring politicians from Virginia and the nation at large. They're trying to nationalize the campaign because the more local it is, the more likely McAuliffe loses. So they're going to call in Obama, they're going to call in Stacey Abrams, they're calling Jamie Harrison, and they're going to call in Joe Biden. The big problem, of course, is that Joe Biden is not popular in the state of Virginia. In fact, Joe Biden is not popular nearly anywhere. The polls right now show that Joe Biden is in the low 40s to high 30s in terms of approval rating. So Democrats are flailing, and you will see why in just a moment, because Joe Biden did a town hall presser last night, a town hall with Anderson Cooper on CNN. It is a disaster area. The President of the United States is not with us, but he has a prescription, and it's more cowbell. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's be clear about this. You think that you're safe because you're using incognito mode when you go online. After all, you're incognito. Well, here's the thing. You really are not, because the fact is your online activity can still be tracked. If you really want to stop people from seeing the sites that you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times you've used Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, a hotel, even at your parents' house. Without ExpressVPN, every site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. And that's true even when you're in incognito mode. I mean, you really want your parents to see what you've been looking at, or basically anybody else. What's more, your home internet provider can also see and record your browsing data. In the U.S., they're legally allowed to sell that data to advertisers. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts all your network data, reroutes it through a network of secure servers, so your private online activity stays just that, private. ExpressVPN works on all your devices. It is super easy to use. The app literally has one button. You tap it to connect. Your browsing activity is secure from prying eyes. So, stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Ben. Use my link, expressvpn.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, Terry McAuliffe is calling for backup from slow Joe Biden. That's not going to go well. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month only, come down and celebrate Bricktoberfest. Tobacco and Brew is celebrating Oktoberfest this month with Brickhouse Cigars. Buy any 5 Brickhouse cigars and you will immediately receive a beer mug for free. holding over 40 ounces of beer, this mug is colossal. Check out our fantastic beer selection while you're here. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Terry McAuliffe is calling for backup from Joe Biden. Yeah, good luck to him. That's going to go extremely poorly. Joe Biden is not the backup that you need if you are a Terry McAuliffe. The reason being, if you call Joe Biden for backup, he is just going to fall over. That's all that's going to be. He is going to pop out of the car, and then he is going to immediately keel over and say a bunch of impolitic things along the way. So he did this town hall last night with Anderson Cooper. He is facing down a crisis in terms of inflation, a supply chain crisis. He's facing down a border crisis. He gave up Afghanistan, completely destroying whatever possibility of a future there was for 19 million Afghan women, as well as thousands of SIV holders who are still sitting imprisoned in Afghanistan. He's got crises up the wazoo, the president of the United States. And so they send him out there to stop the bleeding. The problem is that if you're going to send someone out there to stop the bleeding, you don't want them congenitally falling on their own knife. Like, that's a big mistake. And that's what Joe Biden did. I mean, this is just Joe Biden has fallen and he cannot get up. So here is so Joe Biden began. We'll start with what he said politically, and then we'll get to just the fact that the man is not with us. He is no longer with us. So he began by trying to defend all of his vaccine mandates. And now here's the thing. With people who have already been vaccinated, they're fine with vaccine mandates because it doesn't apply to them. It's sort of like when you poll the American public on taxing the very wealthy. Most Americans are not very wealthy, so they're like, okay, it applies to that guy, not me, so I'm okay with it. But that is not the question. The question is whether it is high priority for most Americans to force their neighbors to get vaccinated, and whether people who are anti the vax mandates are very passionate. Okay, and they are. The answer is they are. And when they become an intransigent minority, which is what we have been seeing at places like Southwest Airlines or GE, they can shut down the entire economy. They can shut down major businesses saying we are not going to do something that you are trying to force us to do. So Joe Biden's tack here is to say that if he forces you to get a vaccine against your will, or to vaccinate your child against your will, which is what they're trying to do with kids 12 to 19, and I guarantee you within 3 weeks, they're going to be trying to do this with kids 5 to 11. when Joe Biden says this, when his take on this is, stop whining about your freedom, this old authoritarian, that ain't going to go over great.
The two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue, freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on, freedom.
Come on, freedom. Come on. Okay, so I love the line, I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. And nobody wants to kill anybody else with COVID. Okay, that's why we have the vaccine. If you don't want to die of COVID, I have a good solution for you. Get a vaccine. Okay, and if you are immunocompromised, even if you take the vaccine, that's not going to be enough. You need to protect yourself with the KN95. You need to be in a more isolated area, period. Beyond which, even if you're vaccinated, you can now pass the disease. We know this for a fact. A huge number of people who are being infected with COVID already have been vaccinated. So this baseline, so basically what he's now arguing is that you have no right to breathe free air. That's what he's arguing. Because if the idea is that your mere breath creates externalities, whether you're vaccinated or non-vaccinated, we are talking now about masking up until the end of time. That is a freedom issue. That's a freedom issue, especially when, again, everyone around you has the freedom to protect themselves. As I've said before, what Joe Biden is basically arguing is no longer that you must wear a seatbelt. What he is arguing is that if somebody else doesn't wear a seatbelt, you have to put a mattress on the front of your car to catch them when they go flying through their windshield. And that is a very different argument. And not only is it a different argument, it's a bad argument coming from the president of the United States. Oh, you people worried about your freedom. How do anybody think that this guy's a good politician is absolutely beyond me. He is thick as an unripe coconut. It's incredible. Okay, so moving on from his vaccine policies, which are deeply unlikely to actually bring an end to the pandemic, he then is asked about rising gas prices, because as it turns out, inflation is crippling a lot of American families right now. The gas prices are out of control, and prices at the shelves are out of control. We're seeing major supply shortages. Here was Joe Biden's wonderful answer on the gas prices.
So I must tell you, I don't have a near-term answer. There's two things I could do. I could go in the petroleum reserve and take out and probably reduce the price of gas maybe 18 cents or so a gallon. It's still going to be above $3. Mm. And one of the things that I refused to have happen, because I didn't want anybody, I made a commitment, if you pass the stuff I'm talking about, not one single penny in tax would go against anybody making less than 400 grand. And so, if you notice, these highway bills are not paid for by gas tax. They're paid for by direct expenditures in other areas. Mm-hmm. So the average person doesn't have to pay more.
So really, he's lowering your gas price by spending a lot of money. Get it? No, because he's incoherently babbling like a crazy person. Yeah, that is the president of the United States right there. Well done, everybody. Then Joe Biden is asked about the labor shortages, because we have tremendous labor shortages in this country. We have 10 million open jobs. And we have millions of people who aren't going to fill them. And his answer is less than satisfying, shall we say.
People are now using this as an opportunity to say, wait a minute, do I want to go back to that $7 an hour job? I won't name the particular restaurant chain. But they found out when they couldn't hire anybody. When they found out they started to pay $20 an hour, everybody wanted to go back to work. Not a joke.
Okay, so he's admitting the quiet part out loud, guys. He's making my case. He's now admitting that people are faking about being afraid of COVID in order to raise their own wages. Right? That they are relying on government benefits to try to pry higher wages out of businesses that are then going to pass on that cost to consumers. Because when you artificially raise the cost of labor, just like if you artificially raise the cost of any other input in a product, you artificially raise the price of the product at the end of the supply chain. And so he's admitting it, and he's happy about it, right? He's happy that he's artificially increasing the wages of labor, which is resulting in the inflation that we are seeing right now. He is creating the labor shortages, and he's excited about it. He thinks it's a good thing. That isn't a bug. That's a feature of his plan. So if you're worried about inflation, he's promising you more of it. If you're concerned about supply shortages, he's saying it's good that there are supply shortages, because finally those $7 an hour workers will be getting $25 an hour for the same work. Now, I have a question for you. Do you think that their labor suddenly became worth $25 an hour? Or do you think that price is just going to get passed on to you, the consumer? And to those same workers, by the way, because right now inflation is outpacing wage growth. So his entire plan is a fail, but it's always more cowbell. Always and forever, more cowbell. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden again, just admitting quiet parts out loud. So he basically admits now that Jill is running him. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I want to invite you to our annual packages for the troops, December 4th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Anderson on Center Street. $10 for adults, $8 for students with ID. Children 12 and under are free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, while you're out there buying Halloween candy, buy an extra bag for the troops. You can drop donations off every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices located at 2110 North Street in Anderson, or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during these holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams, or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop-off for your donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. And thank you for your support.
...and holding them full term.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden, he's not with us, but apparently Jill is in control of whether we spend, you know, billions of dollars on community college education. Joe Biden decided that he would talk a little bit about his economic plans. He suggested, for example, that he would be sleeping alone if he could not get free community college done, which, yeah, we know Jill is really running the administration, Joe. We get it.
The question was on the community college, which was a big campaign promise that you made. You talked about that along the campaign trail.
Yeah, and I'm going to get it done. And if I don't, I'll be sleeping alone for a long time. But here's the deal.
Oh, it's the honeymooners now. We all have to pay for community college so that he can get some from his wife, apparently. That's great. Terrific, Joe. Also, Joe says that I wish you were telling the truth here. He says that we have a commitment to defend Taiwan if China should militarily attack Taiwan. This is immediately walked back by the White House.
I don't want a Cold War with China. I just want to make China understand that we are not going to step back. We are not going to change any of our views.
So are you saying that the United States would come to Taiwan's defense if China attacked?
Yes, we have a commitment to do that.
Okay, so then the White House walked that back. Like, oh, well, we haven't changed any status quo. No, we don't want to offend the Chinese. So even when Joe Biden says something right, he says something wrong. Okay, and all of this is ancillary to the major question here, which is whether Joe Biden is even competent to hold his office. And the answer, of course, is that he is not. He is now in late-stage weirdness, right? As if you've ever had an elderly relative who's starting to lose it, there are certain tics that you see that are just strange. And Joe Biden is not, he's non-compos mentis. He is not with us. So during the middle of this town hall, Joe Biden was talking about the Long Beach port, and he started asking what he was doing.
I was able to go to the private ports with 40% of all products coming into the United States of America on the West Coast go through Los Angeles what am I doing here?
Is it Long Beach?
Long Beach. Thank you.
Oh, my God. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? So remember that time that Rick Perry ran for president and he wanted to name three departments that he wanted to cut and he only came up with two and it ended his presidential campaign? Here you have the president of the United States not remembering the Long Beach port, and instead of finding something to cover for it, just saying, and another port in the area. Instead, he goes, what am I doing here? And Anderson Cooper jumps in to save him, as our media members typically do. Then we had this weird image of Joe Biden clenching his hands for no reason, as though he has, like, a vest strapped to him and the button in his fists. I don't know, like, what is he even doing here? Here's Anderson Cooper asking him a question, and the visual is the president of the United States holding his arms at 90 degrees and clenching his fists with his thumbs up as though he is going to clock in on Jeopardy for the hot round of questions.
About that, with just in terms of inflation, because you had told us at a town hall, I think it was in July, that this was just near-term inflation. The Wall Street Journal recently talked to like 67 financial experts who said that they saw high inflation going all the way or deep into 2022.
What is he doing? He's kind of staring off into the distance and clenching his fists. So one of two things is happening. Either the president of the United States is losing it, or he is Cornholio in search for TP for his bunghole. Those would be the only two possible options here. I do not know what the president of the United States is doing here. Remember every time Trump did something weird, people would like jump on it and it was evidence that he was crazy and that they needed to use the Constitution to get rid of him. And what is he doing? What is he doing? And then he did the weird, creepy whispering routine. I don't know who once told Joe Biden that it is a good political tactic to creepily lean forward and whisper. But that's what horror movie villains do, right? That's where they've got the victim tied to a chair and they lean forward and they're like, tell me about your mother. So now you have the president of the United States doing this. Here we go.
Now, here's the deal, though. You have 55 corporations, for example, in the United States of America, making over $40 billion. Don't pay a cent. Not a single little red cent. Now, I don't care. I'm a capitalist. I hope you can be a millionaire or a billionaire. Not a problem. But at least pay your fair share.
Don't pay a cent. What's going on with this guy? Okay, so here's the problem for Democrats. The only person who has the leverage to actually force through Joe Biden's crappy plans. Joe Biden's trapped. Okay, his plans suck. And if they are effectuated, then it's going to be bad for the economy. He himself is admitting he's going to create labor shortages if his plans actually work. It is not going to create more jobs. It's going to create fewer jobs. He's going to be paying people to stay home. He's going to be paying people not to enter the workforce, but instead to go to community college to major in lesbian dance theory. Okay, this is the president of the United States' actual plan. So if he succeeds, he fails. And if he fails, he also fails. And right now, he has no leverage inside his own party. Democratic voters are getting very upset with Joe Biden because they feel like he's not able to use his leverage. But he doesn't have leverage, guys. You elected a guy with no leverage. Again, the only thing that Joe Biden had leverage for was the things like the bipartisan infrastructure plan. But he has a narrow majority, and the progressives are holding up the deal on that, so he has no leverage. He has 50 seats in the Senate, which means he has no power. And in the House, he has a very narrow majority and a fractious coalition. It turns out that governing is real tough. And Joe Biden, again, he doesn't have the capacity to actually broker deals because he is not there. He's not there. According to the Wall Street Journal, Democrats in Washington remain divided over the scope of President Biden's expansive domestic policy agenda. But their voters, both moderates and progressives, have largely rallied around the push to increase government spending and say they worry lawmakers will fail to come to an agreement. Several recent polls bolstered by interviews with more than 50 Democratic voters across six swing states in recent weeks indicate broad party support for legislation to expand social safety net programs and pass measures aimed at mitigating the effects of climate change. Democratic leaders have proposed paying for well over $1 trillion in expanded government services, in part by higher taxes. Top Democrats acknowledge that would have been considered too liberal a few years ago. Now they say it has broad party support. But they don't actually have the support of Manchin or Sinema. According to Politico this morning, neither Manchin nor Sinema are on board with the big spending, big taxation plans that Joe Biden is pushing, which is a disaster for him. And he really has no choice. I mean, Joe Manchin came out yesterday and he said, let's pause this thing for 6 months. According to Axios, Joe Manchin said, quote, we shouldn't do it at all. Apparently, Bernie had said, let's spend $6 trillion. And Manchin said, how about zero? And then Manchin said this will contribute to inflation. We've already passed the American Rescue Plan. We should just pass the infrastructure bill and, you know, pause for 6 months. Yep. Joe said, I'm comfortable with nothing. And by the way, Joe Manchin has no incentive here. Manchin yesterday said, I'm a centrist. Deal with it. You know, the fact of the matter is that he is from West Virginia, a state that went for Donald Trump by something like 40 points. The fact that there's a Democrat from West Virginia in the Senate is a weirdness of history in and of itself. Manchin knows that, and he knows the minute that he votes for this bad Biden bill, he's done as a senator. He will not win re-election in West Virginia. Here he is basically acknowledging that.
Did anything that was ever said, that we've ever talked about, if I'm an embarrassment to my Democrat colleagues, my caucus, the president being the Democrat, the leader of the Democrat Party, Chuck Schumer and all them, and I said, me being a moderate centrist Democrat, if that causes you a problem, let me know, and I'd switch to be an independent, but I'd still be caucusing with Democrats.
Both Sinema and Manchin have basically said that they are not in favor of massive tax increases. Those seem to be largely off the table at this point. But meanwhile, it's such a divide inside the Democratic Party, and normally the president bridges those divides, right? The president brings everybody together inside his own party. Not so with regard to President Biden. And this is leaving the so-called moderate senators not knowing which way to turn. A good sort of bellwether for this is Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. So he is the Senate Majority Leader. He has been reelected to his Senate position several times by wide margins. Now he's running so scared of the AOC wing of the party that he announced he was endorsing India Walton to be mayor of Buffalo, giving the winner of the Democratic primary a crucial boost only days before early voting begins in her race against Mayor Byron Brown. Schumer's decision gave Walton backing from a centrist Democrat at a time when other figures like Governor Kathy Hochul and Representative Brian Higgins of Buffalo refused to take sides in a battle between an upstart primary winner and a four-term incumbent who's waging a write-in campaign. That's because India Walton's like an actual honest-to-God socialist. So Schumer endorsed her because he was afraid that he'd be outflanked by AOC and then Walton would go ahead and win the election. So now he is feeding the alligator. They're all feeding the progressive alligator. Because normally the person who would be able to stand up to the alligator is the president of the United States, and he is too busy sleeping and taking his early afternoon nap. before watching the rerun of Matlock. So well done, everybody. Now, meanwhile, we have the amazing spectacle. This should be the top story in the country. It is not, however. The NIH has now admitted to funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Okay, isn't that a major story? We'll get to that in just 1 second first. Let's talk about a simple fact. If you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance for your family. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Disco. Getting started super simple. First, head over to policygenius.com/Shapiro in minutes. You can work out just how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius does not add on extra fees. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, the actual biggest story of the day. It turns out the NIH was indeed funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, as it turns out, remember all those fibs about how the American taxpayers were not sponsoring gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Remember Fauci kept saying that? Yeah, he was lying. That ain't true. A top NIH official admitted in a Wednesday letter that U.S. taxpayers funded gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses in Wuhan and revealed that EcoHealth Alliance, the U.S. nonprofit that funneled NIH money to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, was not transparent about the work it was doing. Now, shouldn't this be the biggest bombshell in America, that your federal your dollars were funding the Wuhan Institute of Virology to perform gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses? Now, remember, the lab leak theory was a conspiracy theory. It was labeled such by all of the elitists in our society. It was labeled as such by social media. You weren't supposed to discuss it. It was very bad. It was anti-Chinese racism to even mention it. And if you mentioned that the NIH, under the auspices of people like Dr. Fauci, was funding gain-of-function research, if you did that, this meant that you were some sort of crazy conspiracy theorist. Well, now the NIH is admitting it. And now gain-of-function research, for those who don't know, is where you take a virus that is not transmittable to humans, and you make it transmissible to humans. This is in sort of the colloquial sense. The very technical sense is where you make a virus that is transmissible more transmissible. So what Fauci had been arguing for a while here is that it is not gain-of-function research to take a bat coronavirus and make it applicable to humans. Okay, that is a distinction without a difference. That is idiotic. You'll remember that he had a knockdown, drag-out fight in the Senate in which he admits that the Chinese could have used money for gain-of-function research.
You gave them money and you said, don't do gain-of-function research.
Correct.
And they said, we won't.
Correct.
And you have no way of knowing whether they did or not, except you trust them. Is that right?
Well, we generally always trust the grantee to do what they say. And you look at the results.
Have you ever had a grantee lie to you?
I cannot guarantee that a grantee has not lied to us, because you never know.
You never know. Well, I mean, I think it's a pretty good indicator that you shouldn't be giving money to the Chinese government. In a letter to Representative James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, Lawrence Tabak of the NIH cites a, quote, limited experiment that was conducted to test if, quote, spike proteins from naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulating in China were capable of binding to the human ACE2 receptor in a mouse model. The lab mice infected with the modified bat virus became sicker than those infected with the unmodified bat virus. That revelation vindicates Rand Paul, who got into heated exchanges with National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease Director Anthony Fauci during his May and July testimonials before Congress over that gain-of-function question. At the second hearing, Paul accused Fauci of misleading Congress by denying the United States had funded gain-of-function projects at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. In keeping with Fauci's refusal to use gain-of-function terminology, Tabak also avoids the term, though the work he describes matches its commonplace definition precisely. A previously unpublished EcoHealth grant proposal filed with the NIAID, obtained by The Intercept, had already exposed that almost $600,000 of the total grant to the Wuhan Institute of Virology was for research designed to make viruses more dangerous and or infectious. Richard Ebright, biosafety expert, professor of chemistry and chemical biology at Rutgers University, had previously rebutted Fauci's claim that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology as, quote, demonstrably false. Ebright told National Review, the NIH-financed work at the WIV epitomizes the definition of gain-of-function research, which deals with enhanced potential pandemic pathogens, or those pathogens resulting from the enhancement of the transmissibility and or virulence of a pathogen. Apparently, Tabak also revealed that EcoHealth failed to comply with its reporting requirements under the grant. EcoHealth was required to submit to a secondary review in the event of certain developments that might increase the danger associated with the research. So, when Wuhan researchers successfully bound a natural bat coronavirus to a human ACE2 receptor in mice, they were supposed to inform the NIH, and then they didn't. And that is a full-scale disaster area for the NIH and for Anthony Fauci. Because now, you have to ask, okay, so they took a bat coronavirus, they bound it to a human ACE2 receptor. We're supposed to believe that this then naturally occurred in the wild, that it wasn't a lab leak? And that sort of research that we were funding had nothing to do with the death of millions of people around the world should give us a different perspective on whether we ought to be doing business with China, should certainly give us a different perspective on whether the experts ought to be trusted on this stuff when they have been lying to us consistently. You want to talk about the blowout of institutional trust? You have Dr. Anthony Fauci presiding over an agency that was, in fact, funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology now, according to these new communications, lying to the American people about it, and then proceeding to take every possible position on every possible issue throughout the pandemic. And then when people have doubts, they're like, well, I don't know why you don't trust us. You need to trust us. Okay, so Fauci's new push and the push of this administration is to get kids vaccinated. Now, if you think for one solitary second that the push to get kids vaccinated ends with your kids unmasking in school, you're out of your mind. It ain't going to happen. The reason it ain't going to happen is because, as we already know, the virus is still infectious. Even if you are a vaccinated person, the CDC has been urging you to continue to mask up. And Rochelle Walensky said over the weekend that if your kid gets a vaccine, then your kid should continue to mask up in perpetuity, forever. So what exactly is the strong case for kids getting vaccinated? Well, Fauci says we have to stop kids from getting the disease at all. Zero COVID is not a thing, guys. Zero COVID is not a thing. The reason that you get vaccinated is so you don't get hospitalized or die. The chances of being hospitalized or dying as a child are lower than your chances of being hospitalized or dying if you are a vaccinated adult in the vast majority of cases. Here is Dr. Anthony Fauci trying to promote kids getting vaccinated. Again, I'm not saying kids shouldn't get vaccinated. I'm saying that the governmental mandates that are sure to follow this, and they will come, are utterly out of line with both the science and with basic human decency. Here is Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Talking about kids ages 5 to 11, and that's something that will be considered very soon, and perhaps given an emergency use authorization very soon. How concerned are you that parents are going to stand in the way of children getting these vaccines?
Well, I hope not. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we want to make sure that we outreach to the parents with trusted messengers. Particularly, some of the most trusted messengers are the family pediatrician, who most parents have a good deal of confidence in. And we're trying to get people to realize it is for the benefit of the children as well as for the entire family unit to get the child vaccinated. The vaccinations and the vaccines in question are highly, highly effective and safe. So there's really no reason not to.
Okay, I mean, a few reasons not to are that kids are basically safe from hospitalization and death from COVID without the vaccine. We have no longitudinal data. The entire study sample size was about 2,300 kids. Myocarditis only appears in 1 in 9,000 kids. So the sample size isn't even big enough for you to determine what the alternative symptoms are. It's one thing to risk the possible cost of the vaccine downstream for people who have a higher level of risk of hospitalization or death. When you're talking about kids, most of whom are asymptomatic, you have to make a pretty strong case as to why kids should get vaccinated. And the case that they might infect adults, I'm sorry, this is endemic. This is endemic now. It is, in fact, probably more likely that adults are going to infect kids. Most of the outbreaks that we've seen in schools are coming from teachers to the kids, not the other way around. Okay, but Anthony Fauci has to push this. And so he's also been pushing the notion that, for example, the spike that we are seeing in Britain right now is due to kids, right? So he said this, quote, "What they are seeing is spread among children, which for the most part, at least 50% is without symptoms. But children are then spreading it to members of the family. So they're seeing people get infected. So right now, they're reexamining what their policy is going to be about vaccinating children, right? So he's blaming a current UK spike on the unvaccinated kids, except for the fact that the people who are being hospitalized and dying are unvaccinated adults and or vaccinated adults who had the vaccines a long time ago and happen to be old, right? That's where the real danger lies. But instead of focusing on the adults, we're going to go after the kids. Why you would trust these people? I just don't understand. I really don't understand what they have done to earn your trust. So if you talk to your family pediatrician and your family pediatrician recommends the shots, listen to your family pediatrician. But why you would trust Anthony Fauci on a blanket level here is beyond me. And why you would trust political actors is really beyond me. So you have Jerry Nadler, for example, yesterday in the House, they were having some sort of committee meeting. And Jerry Nadler starts calling out the Republicans who are not masking on the committee.
I would remind all members that guidance from the Office of Attending Physicians states that face coverings are required for all meetings in an enclosed space, such as committee hearings, except when you are recognized to speak. And that means you, Jim, and Marjorie, and Matt, and a lot of other people I can't recognize because of distance, etc. So please, everyone, observe that rule.
Okay, my favorite part of this is that literally half of the room is unmasked. Literally half the room. Also, I don't know why the rule is that you get to unmask when you speak. If we're going to be scientifically proper about this, when you're speaking is when you should wear the mask. That's when you're expelling spit. It's when you're aerosolizing the virus. But this is all political. It's all political, and it drives me up a damned wall. There is no consistency coming from the CDC. There's no consistency coming from the FDA. There's no consistency in what they hope is the pathway forward from the pandemic, because we all know at this point it's endemic. The only thing you can do if you're concerned is vaccinate yourself. If you're concerned for your child, go ahead and vaccinate your kid. And if you're not, don't. And that's the end of this. We are done, but not according to our public officials who maintain control in their sclerotic, pathetic hands. The more control you choose to give to moron politicians, the more control you choose to give to overarching authoritarian bureaucrats, the more you deserve to be controlled. And if you believe that they can save you from disease or save you from poverty or save you from the vicissitudes of life, you are out of your damned mind. You're crazy. The only thing that can save you from these things is good individual decision making, which is why I've encouraged individuals to get vaccines if they're in any way vulnerable. And it's also why I say that you need to perform individual risk assessment, because when you allow everybody else to control your life, it is worse for you and it is worse for everybody else. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. That Texas law banning most abortions now headed for the Supreme Court.
The nation's highest court has agreed to hear arguments in the case on the 1st of November. The focus will not be on the abortion ban, but whether the Justice Department can sue and obtain a court order that effectively prevents the law from being enforced.
That is White House correspondent Greg Cluxton. President Biden and Congress leading Democrats have edged closer to sealing their giant domestic legislation. However, the leaders appear to be letting Friday's informal deadline slip as they work to scale back the measure and determine just how to pay for it. Biden and the Democrats are working to reach agreement between the party's progressives and moderates in Congress, talks likely to continue throughout the weekend. Also at townhall.com, Beijing says there is, quote, no room for compromise or concessions on the issue of Taiwan. That follows a comment by President Biden. U.S. is committed to defending the island. Asked whether the United States would defend Taiwan, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says he would not discuss, quote, hypothetical situations. But Austin says one aspect of keeping China in check is through its cyber activity.
You've also seen recently that NATO issued a NAC statement on malign Chinese cyber behavior. So there's an increasing interest in checking that kind of behavior, but also to build resilience throughout our own infrastructure.
The leader of a notorious Haitian gang that kidnapped 17 members of a U.S.-based missionary group, warning now the hostages will be killed if demands are not met. Wilson Joseph also has been threatening the Haitian prime minister. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Entertainment Answer brought to you by Exergen. At the end of the year, we see a lot of heavy adult dramas hitting theaters. But what about family options this season? Well, we have a few. Ron's Gone Wrong is in theaters October 22nd. Then we get Clifford the Big Red Dog November the 12th. The animated Encanto arrives November the 26th. And Sing 2 rounds out the year on December 24th. All of these PG films are sure to be a hit for your entire family. For more information, reviews, and interviews, head over to theentertainmentanswer.com.
Fever is the leading symptom of COVID and the flu, and the only way to reliably detect fever is with an accurate thermometer. Be vigilant and be accurate with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, proven in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They are proven to be inaccurate and will not reliably detect a fever that might mean COVID. Be sure to seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Learn more at Exergen.com.
In its first significant action under a new director, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau ordering Apple, Amazon, PayPal, and other tech giants to reveal just how their proprietary payment networks function.
Apple Pay, Google Pay, and other systems now dominate e-commerce and person-to-person payments with systems that are often hardwired into smart devices. Banks have tried to compete through services like Zelle, but they've struggled to keep up, lacking the integrated systems Apple and Google operate. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is seeking more transparency into the payment systems created by the big tech companies, as well as details about consumer protections. Director Rohit Chopra says tech companies are, quote, eagerly expanding their empires to gain greater control and insight into our spending habits. The CFPB has also raised potential antitrust concerns. I'm Ben Thomas.
These stories and more at townhall.com. Yet another obstacle for the farmers of America. Correspondent Ken Lorman has that story.
Family farms across the nation were already finding it hard to secure quality, affordable farm equipment, and that was before 10,000 John Deere workers went on strike. But now, the shortage of equipment is driving up prices beyond what many farmers can afford. One recent auction saw a lightly used John Deere tractor sell for almost $40,000 more than its original price. Ken Lorman reporting.
A man in Delaware who stole goods worth more than $3 million while working at FedEx has been sentenced to more than 3 years in prison for interstate transportation of stolen goods and tax evasion. Prosecutors say Joseph Kuta has been sentenced to 42 months in connection with the theft and resale of shipped merchandise. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with VPN, so should you. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Well, you may remember the scorn with which the entire media treated Joe Rogan for the great sin of not being vaxxed and then getting COVID and then taking ivermectin in order to treat his COVID. And the idea was that Joe Rogan was a very, very terrible bad man who was taking horse dewormer. Remember, this was the line all over the media, CNN, New York Times, like everybody kept saying horse dewormer as though Joe Rogan, who's a very wealthy dude, had just decided to stop by the farm supply store and start downing the horse dewormer. And it's very much like the stupidity that the media promulgated early on in the pandemic with regard to hydroxychloroquine, that people were just going to go in the back and start drinking fish tank cleaner. And then when one lady fed fish tank cleaner to her husband, instead of the media being like, oh, maybe she murdered him, they were like, oh, it was probably because of Trump. It was probably because of Trump. Okay, well, CNN got caught out on the lie by Joe Rogan. He had on Sanjay Gupta in one of the greatest exchanges in the last 6 months in terms of media, in which he asked Sanjay Gupta, like, why were you guys lying about me? Like, I can afford human medicine. I love Joe. I can afford human medicine. I by the way, after this happened, I will admit, I texted Joe, send flowers to the widow, because Sanjay Gupta just looked as though he'd been run over by a train. And then Sanjay Gupta that night went on CNN, and Don Lemon was like, we didn't lie. When we said horse, I mean, it has been used as a form of horse dewormer. And so people were making jokes online, like, Joe Rogan drinks water. CNN reports it as Joe Rogan ingests dihydrogen monoxide, a chemical used to wash clothes. Right? Like, you can do this with pretty much anything. Hey, so now CNN is out there defending themselves. So they have to pretend that they weren't lying, which they were. They have to pretend that they weren't just putting this in the stupidest possible light in order to harm Joe Rogan's image. So here is a piece from Eric Wemple over at the Washington Post about this. Podcaster Joe Rogan's three-hour interview with CNN's Sanjay Gupta last week was an amicable affair, though it got a bit tense when the topic turned to the network's coverage of Rogan's recent bout with COVID. It's a lie. It's a lie on a news network, and it's a lie that they're conscious of. This is not a mistake, said Rogan. That's quite a claim to make straight to the face of CNN's chief medical correspondent. At issue is Rogan's September 1st disclosure he'd gotten COVID and had addressed the situation with a kitchen sink of medications, including ivermectin, a drug used for paralyzing and killing parasites. Rogan said he got the ivermectin via prescription from his doctor. Ivermectin was discovered in the late 1970s and got its start as a veterinary drug. Its versatility, however, escaped the barnyard. According to Satoshi Omura, who discovered ivermectin, and co-author Andy Crump, quote, ivermectin proved to be even more of a wonder drug in human health, improving the nutrition, general health, and well-being of billions of people worldwide ever since it was first used to treat river blindness in humans in 1988. So, there's an animal application and a human application for ivermectin. What separates the two? Well, a lot. An ivermectin dose for horses can be as high as 1,200 milligrams, according to Scott Phillips of the Washington Poison Center in Seattle. It's the dose that makes the poison, says Phillips. Even too much tap water or salt can be poisonous. Well, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, the simple fact is that if you take too much of anything, you will die. If you eat too many Brussels sprouts, you will die. With those considerations in mind, consider how CNN framed Rogan's use of ivermectin. On September 1st, writes Wemple, CNN host Aaron Burnett said, quote, controversial podcast host Joe Rogan, who's railed against vaccine requirements, says he has COVID and took a drug intended for livestock. She articulated similar descriptions two additional times before interviewing a doctor and noting the drug is prescribed for humans as well. The same day, Anderson Cooper said, quote, one of the drugs he mentioned, ivermectin, is something more often used to deworm horses. On the same show, CNN chief media correspondent Brian Stelter said, quote, when you have a horse deworming medication that's discouraged by the government, that actually causes some people in this crazy environment we're in to actually want to try it, that's the upside down where we're in with figures like Joe Rogan. Leanna Wen, who is a doctor, later added the critical context that the drug is used in humans for things like parasites and scabies. That same day, Don Lemon said, quote, the United States is now averaging 161,000 new COVID-19 cases every day, including controversial podcast host Joe Rogan, saying he tested positive for COVID and that he is taking several medications, including a drug meant for deworming livestock. On September 3rd, Bakari Sellers said, quote, I think the unfortunate part about all of this is you have individuals like Joe Rogan who don't want to take an experimental vaccine, but will take horse dewormer. On September 4th, Jim Acosta played Rogan's video and said, quote, in case you missed it, Rogan said ivermectin, that's the deworming medicine made to kill parasites in farm animals. Wemple says there is a reason for reciting these transcripts. They turn up a consistent formulation from multiple CNN voices that was not a sober recitation of the facts. By highlighting that ivermectin is a horse dewormer, CNN facilitates a certain assumption among its viewers, namely that Rogan has been haunting the aisles of Tractor Supply. Correct. So Gupta says they shouldn't have said that. CNN has now responded. Here's what they say. A quote, quote, the heart of this debate has been purposefully confused and ultimately lost. It's never been about livestock versus human dosage of ivermectin. The issue is that a powerful voice in the media, who by example and through his platform sowed doubt in the proven and approved science of vaccines while promoting the use of an unproven treatment for COVID-19, a drug developed to ward off parasites in farm animals. The only thing CNN did wrong here was bruise the ego of a popular podcaster who pushed dangerous conspiracy theories and risked the lives of millions of people in doing so. Eric Wemple says that's quite the statement. It makes some good points. The FDA does advise against its use for COVID. In fact, the FDA itself tweeted, quote, you are not a horse, you are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it. But of course, that's stupid because nobody is taking horse and cow medication. But Eric Wemple admits CNN's statement sounds more like the work of an advocacy group than a journalism outfit. The issue actually begins and ends with the integrity of CNN's content. If we take Rogan's prescription claim at face value, the network's coverage was slanted in some cases and straight up wrong in others. In this case, you don't have to endorse Rogan to abhor CNN's coverage of the topic. Here's a network that prides itself on impeccable factual hygiene, a place where there's no conceptual hair too fine to split, no political statement too sprawling, too flyspeck. It's tough living by your own standards. If CNN wants to describe ivermectin in a way that doesn't slime people who take it, The Guardian provides a fine example, a drug used against parasites in humans and livestock. But even that is ridiculous, because again, the form matters. Okay, if you were to say that penicillin is a drug used to treat humans and livestock, that would not be accurate when you're talking about a person taking penicillin. We don't do that with any other medication, because it turns out that lots of medications are used in both humans and animals, because humans are a form of animal. If you said that food, typically speaking, is fed to both humans and livestock, so you're pretending that we're out there in the farmhouse eating the hay with the horses, then you have done a grave disservice to the American people. But this is what your media do. They are liars, and they are politically driven. And this is a perfect example of that. They are just damned liars. It's actually unbelievable. And here's the thing. They lie for a purpose. And if they don't lie, then they are called to account. We'll get to an example of that in just one moment. First, let's talk about a simple fact. You can't always control the noise in the outside world, but you can control what is in your ears. And this is why you need Raycons, the new everyday earbuds. Feel, look, sound better than ever. The everyday earbuds come with an improved rubber oil look and feel, optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit. You get three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. You got pure mode for podcast listening and blues. You got balanced mode for rock and heavy metal. You got bass mode for hip-hop. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime, a 32-hour battery life. There is also a built-in mic. You can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That is BUYRAYCON.com/Ben to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Ben. They start at half the price of the other premium audio brands. Get that 45-day happiness guarantee. I use my Raycons all the time because I'm listening to audio all the time. I'm sure you will do the same. Go check them out right now. Buyraycon.com/Ben and save 15%. Okay, so when we talk about the media directly screwing around with their stories in order to mirror a particular political perspective, here's a perfect local example. So there was a headline from 7 News DC, right, which is the local Washington, D.C. ABC outlet. And their original headline said something to the effect of wealthy neighborhood sees surprising rise in murders, violent crimes. Now, that is a surprise, right? It is indeed a surprise when you have a richer neighborhood that sees a spike in crime. The reason that that is a surprise is because richer neighborhoods typically do not have high crime rates, because poverty is indeed linked with crime. Both ways. Right? Where there is more poverty, there tends to be more crime, and where there is more crime, there tends to be more poverty. Okay, the ABC News, the local ABC affiliate, apologized for this tweet. They said it was very bad that they had done this tweet. And the reason that it was very bad that 7 News DC had done this tweet is because they implied that crime and poverty are linked, which is really bad, apparently. Apparently, that's like a big no-no. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to acknowledge the truth about crime. Right? To do so is really bad. Here's what they tweeted out. Quote, "We have deleted a tweet that implied wealthy neighborhoods should have less crime. We apologize for the tone on that post and adjusted our copy to more accurately reflect that crime can happen anywhere." Okay, but here's the thing. Crime doesn't happen anywhere. Are you going to pretend that gated communities have the same level of crime as inner cities? That's stupid. It makes for bad news coverage and bad public policy. It's the same thing that the media did in the 1980s when, in an attempt to scare Americans into spending an awful lot of money on, for example, AIDS research, they suggested that there was going to be a wide outbreak of AIDS in the heterosexual community. There was not. AIDS was predominantly happening via intravenous drug use and homosexual sexual activity. I mean, that's just what was happening. And the entire media infrastructure decided they were going to turn it into a "it could happen to you" story. And there was a political purpose to that. And that's not to say that we shouldn't have spent money on AIDS research. But the media were trying to fib in order to get people to care about an issue that probably did not affect them. They're trying to scare people. Okay, so here, when they say that we didn't want to imply that high crime only happens in impoverished neighborhoods because that stigmatizes impoverished neighborhoods. You know what stigmatizes impoverished neighborhoods? Not the media noticing the high levels of crime. It would be the high levels of crime. If you're talking about what hurts impoverished neighborhoods, it's lack of cops. Crime is not equally likely to take place based on where you are or what the normal income levels are of your community. There is heavy income striation in terms of crime rates of areas. We all know this. But this goes to the media's generalized assumption about how the world should work. The way the world should work is every bad thing on earth should be equally likely to happen to every person. Of course, that's really stupid. It is untrue. And the fact is that depending where you live, there's a better chance or a lesser chance you might get mugged. But is the media allowed to notice that? Apparently not. Apparently, if you mention any of this, it might cause stigma. And stigma, of course, is the real problem. So it's not about solving anybody's problems. It's about stigma. It's about the level of media. And that's the same thing with Rogan, right? It's about stigmatizing ivermectin use. So you have to lie that it's a horse dewormer when it's being used as an actual human drug. The media are so dishonest about this stuff, from the small to the big. And it crops up in media coverage all the damn time, like all the time. Have you ever wondered why it is that the media will only cover the race of certain suspects? That is an editorial decision. There is a reason why newspapers will not tell you the race of a suspect depending on the race of the suspect. If there is a story about a white man attacking a black man, the race of both the suspect and the victim will be mentioned. If there is a story about a black man attacking a white man, only the race of the victim will be mentioned, if at all. That's just typical media pattern because they do not want to exacerbate racial stereotypes. How about you give us all the information? Because it turns out that specific information actually helps debunk racial stereotypes. If they reported things equivalently, maybe people would have a better notion of where a crime takes place or who is committing it or whether ivermectin ought to be used or not. The media's agenda is the only thing that matters to them, however, in the end. And that makes for some pretty dramatic mistrust of the media. Well-deserved, we should say. Alrighty, coming up, we will be joined by Andrew Langer. He's the president of the Institute for Liberty. Democrats are pushing forward something they are calling the Freedom to Vote Act. Naturally, it's not about the freedom to vote. We'll get into it with Andrew. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's
365-3793. Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Andrew Langer. He's been president of the Institute for Liberty since 2008. IFL works on a variety of issues promoting and protecting small business, linking trade and prosperity, tilting against the regulatory state. Well, recently, the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer filed cloture on the so-called Freedom to Vote Act, another one of their misnamed acts. They have, like, the American Prosperity Act, which doesn't provide prosperity, and they've got the Freedom to Vote Act, which isn't really about freedom to vote. It's about stacking the ballot box. Joining us on the line to discuss it is Andrew. Andrew, thanks so much for your time.
It's great to be on, Ben. And isn't it always the way that the bill names are the opposite of what they actually intend?
Yeah, exactly. So why don't we talk about what's in this act? Because the way that the media treat this sort of stuff is whenever a Democratic bill comes forth, they just call it by the name of the bill. Whereas when a Republican bill comes forth, it's about depriving the poor of their food. Yes. Whenever it's a Democratic bill and they call it something charming, then the media just go with the title of the bill so that you actually think that it's Republicans who are obstructing freedom to vote. But that's really not what's in this bill.
No, and a full third of it has to do with impacting the not just the free speech rights, but the freedom of assembly rights of millions of Americans, making it easier for progressive activists to go out and dox folks who give to conservative causes, whatever those conservative causes might be. And the sad thing is, this has its roots in the tactics that the state of Alabama used against the NAACP in 1958, the 1950s. And the Supreme Court said in 1958, yeah, we know that the only reason why the state of Alabama wants access to donor information for the NAACP is so that the state of Alabama can turn around and harass those donors. Well, taking a cue from those tactics, this is what Democrats want to do, and they fundamentally change the definition of electioneering and how folks sort of get involved in the advocacy world and make it so that there's this expansive definition of what's involved, where if you even barely mention, if you mention the Biden infrastructure bill within a certain period of time before an election, well, then you could be caught under the umbrella of this legislation's orbit.
And we know, of course, that this sort of stuff is never evenly applied. You know, obviously, a few years ago under Barack Obama, we had Lois Lerner from the IRS who was held in contempt of Congress because she was essentially using IRS regulations to target political opposition. Whenever you grant the IRS enormous power to redefine terminology, they are going to use it for the benefit of the left. It is never really for the benefit of the right.
And here's the interesting thing, right? When after the IRS was caught in that scandal in 2013, 2014, they tried codifying that through a regulatory process and got the most comment letters back that they'd ever gotten, you know, in the previous 7 years combined, overwhelmingly against what the IRS was trying to do. And it was a very interesting coalition of both conservative organizations and the aforementioned NAACP warning the Obama administration as to what they were doing. Here we are 7 years later. We've now gone through a couple of different election cycles, and the Democrats are back at it again. Oh, and let's not miss the fact, Ben, that it was just this past summer that the Supreme Court upheld the tenets of the NAACP versus Alabama case, going after and overturning a California law, which does pretty much exactly what this Senate bill 2747 purports to do.
Especially given the kind of cancel culture climate that we are in. We all know why they are doing this, right? The goal here is to out every donor to a political cause so that you can then destroy their business. We saw this in California after Proposition 8 originally passed. We saw that any business owner who donated money to the effort to uphold traditional marriage in California was summarily doxxed and their business is targeted. We saw this with, like, the El Coyote restaurant on Sunset Boulevard in California. Yeah. That restaurant was targeted for destruction because the owner of that restaurant had given to the Prop 8 effort, even though at the time, by the way, Barack Obama was still pro-traditional marriage. We saw this. I used to live in California. This was a thing. There was no question that you had activists who were going through donor lists and then trying to link their businesses to their own political donations. On a broad level, of course, you've seen this with companies like Chick-fil-A, where the ownership structure, because the owners have been pro-traditional marriage, the entire company has been targeted, and you've seen actual cities attempt to bar Chick-fil-A from entering. You'd only see that expanded multiple fold if the IRS were actually able to force all donations to be public.
And let's go to the other end, which is this issue of, it's even small donors, and, you know, who can go and find. We had an issue in which a conservative donor database was hacked over the summer. Folks who gave to someone's legal defense fund found themselves targeted. A paramedic out in Utah who gave $10 to a legal defense fund found a camera crew on his doorstep. A police officer in Norfolk, Virginia, was fired for a $25 donation to the same legal defense fund. And this is exactly what the Supreme Court talked about both in NAACP versus Alabama, as well as in the AFP Foundation versus Bonta. This is the very definition of a chilling effect on free speech and a chilling effect on the freedom of association. This is why the Supreme Court has warned against this. And yet here we have the Democrats trying once again to turn about and go and implement these things that have clearly been held to be unconstitutional.
And of course, this is, as we say, not a nonpartisan thing. The fact is that the biggest donors to the Democratic Party are all unions that withdraw dues from their members. They are not, quote unquote, outside funded. It's not about people donating to the unions. It's about actual membership fees. And that is maybe the biggest single campaign push in American life is the power of the unions in everything from local to state to federal elections. They would not be affected by something like this. It really would be your local LLC, your local 501c3 that would really be affected by this sort of thing.
Well, that's exactly it. But the reality is, right, is that we have different ways of treating these different kinds of organizations we traditionally have within the law. We've made it clear as a nation that we want to make sure that if people are giving to actual candidates And in those candidates' campaigns that we know who those people are, they still retain the ability to vote secretly, the concept of the secret ballot. But when we're talking about ideas and fighting for ideas, it's something that gets treated and should get treated very, very differently in terms of the eyes of the law. We want ideas to stand and fall on their own merits. We want them to be analyzed and assessed for what they are and what organizations are saying, as opposed to the personalities that are involved in either giving to them or who are impacted by them.
That's Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty. You can go help them out today. Andrew, how can people help you out?
Check us out at iChooseLiberty.org or Facebook.com/iChooseLiberty.
I really appreciate the time. All righty.
Thanks, Ben.
Coming up, Unilever is now warning that inflation is going to continue to worsen just continuously all the way into next year. Meanwhile, the House Democrats are focused in like a laser beam on Steve Bannon. We'll get to their latest attempts to hold Steve Bannon in contempt. What does that mean? Why is that a big deal? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's Super Saturday, October 30th, at Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. The Sikh Center Anderson, in partnership with Anderson RX and Anderson Medical Associates, team up to host a COVID-19 vaccination clinic from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Sacred Heart Parish at 3141 St. Stephen's Drive off of Stingy Lane in Anderson. Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines will be available. Come and get vaccinated on Super Saturday and enjoy free food while organizers hand out Dutch Bros, Walmart, and Starbucks gift cards. It's the Super Saturday Vaccination Clinic, October 30th, from 8 to 3 at Sacred Heart Parish in Anderson.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So now Unilever is warning that inflation is going to accelerate next year and that its prices would have to rise further because consumer goods are going up. Their Q3 sales, underlying sales growth, was about 2.5%, but they're expecting that their price hikes are just going to increase and increase because, again, of the supply chain shortages. And Joe Biden has no solution to any of this except apparently to throw more money at the problem to create more of a bottleneck. Again, more cowbell is always the solution. Well, that and yelling about Steve Bannon. So believe me, I am not a Steve Bannon fan. Steve Bannon may be one of the worst people I personally know. I've been very clear about my personal feelings about Steve Bannon for quite a while. They are no secret. But when the House voted on Thursday to find Steve Bannon in criminal contempt of Congress for stonewalling the investigation into the January 6th Capitol attack, Bannon's claim is basically that it's confidential information, that it's executive privilege, and Trump claimed executive privilege, so he doesn't get to testify. The vote was 229 to 202. It was mostly along party lines. The action sent the matter to the Justice Department, which is now deciding whether to prosecute Bannon. It could set off a legal fight that could drag on for months or years at this point. The President of the United States has already suggested that he wants to see Bannon prosecuted. Now, here is the thing. Okay, Republicans have argued that the investigation is a partisan exercise to smear Trump. On the floor, Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio said, quote, "You're involved in political activity. They're going to investigate you. You know what this is about. It's about getting at Trump." Okay, but here's the thing. People are held in criminal contempt like a lot. So Eric Holder was held in criminal contempt of Congress all the way back in 2012 over the Fast and Furious scandal. That vote was 255 to 67, with 17 Democrats voting in support of the criminal contempt resolution. No charges were ever brought. That, of course, is because Eric Holder was involved in authorizing Fast and Furious, which was essentially a gun smuggling scandal in which ATF was allowing the sale of guns to be brought back to Mexico and then theoretically to be used in crimes. And you'll recall that in 2014, the House voted to hold former IRS official Lois Lerner in contempt of Congress and to request a special prosecutor, and nothing happened from that either. So the notion that this is somehow unprecedented or the end of the world is very silly. And it's pretty rare that somebody is actually investigated for criminal contempt of Congress, obviously. All righty, let's do some mailbag since it is a Friday. Don says, "Hey, Ben, where are all the lawsuits stopping Democrats from enacting their agenda? Every time Trump did something, there was a lawsuit and an injunction. They slowed him down by years. Where are the Republican lawsuits? Isn't there a conservative ACLU? Are they underfunded? What's the story?" Well, there are definitely some conservative ACLU types, right? There's the Landmark Legal Foundation, which is Mark Levin's foundation. There is Alliance Defending Freedom, which does a really good job with this sort of stuff. A lot of lawsuits are filed. We have not filed a lawsuit against the Joe Biden vaccine mandate because he literally has not issued it. So he said he was going to issue a vaccine mandate against companies with over 100 employees. We said we would fight it in court. We have to have a text to fight it in court. There are states that have said they will file immediately. We've already seen a couple of elements of the Biden agenda held up on immigration. So, yeah, there will be lawsuits. It's hard to win a lawsuit when it's just about Democrats spending a lot of money. But the misuse of the bureaucratic state, the administrative state, is more rife for a lawsuit, and there are lawsuits brought on that basis. So I think that some of that stuff just doesn't get covered until there's a ruling. James says, if the Afghan people are so against the Taliban, where's the counterinsurgency? I don't hear any reports about a counterinsurgency. That's because the Afghan people are not that much against the Taliban. That's why we never won the war over there. Well, a couple of things. One, the Taliban have a different tactic than the counterinsurgencies. The Taliban's tactic is, if you don't get out of our way, we will kill you and everyone in your family. The administration of Afghanistan's tactic was, we're here to try to protect your town. When the United States withdrew support, now people in the towns and villages have to decide, are we going to stick around with this group of people who might protect us and might not, or are we just going to stand aside and get out of the way of these people who say they'll kill us and our entire family and have no moral qualms at all? There's a grave imbalance in sort of the approach to the war. Beyond that, the Afghan military forces were built around American support. The withdrawal of that support basically collapsed it from the inside. There was a counterinsurgency in sort of Northern Alliance areas. It didn't last for particularly long. It's also true that endemic corruption inside the Afghan government led to widespread dissatisfaction with the Afghan government. So it's hard to get people to stand up and fight for a government they think is corrupt. Kyle says, hey, Ben, first time mailbagging. I've been wondering for some time what you think the left gets by pushing the LGBTQ plus agenda. Thanks in advance. The answer is they get to pull down all the institutions of power. For the left, it's about destruction. It is not about building anything. The idea is that traditional marriage is a structure that somehow harms women and creates inequality. The notion is that traditional standards of morality, tied in as they are to traditional standards of religion, are repressive and evil, and we have to get rid of all of those. And all of these institutions must be torn out by the root in order to form a new and better world. So for the left, they're constantly making common cause with people who are quote-unquote revolutionary. Right? You have to think about, why is it that the socialistic left is making common cause with, for example, the racial radical left? They seem to have different agendas. The racial radical left is saying that the entire system is broken. The socialist left is saying, we need the entire system to do what we want it to do, so the government is the answer. The answer is, so long as all of them are directed at tearing down what exists, what they are split about matters far less than what they have in common. They're willing to form a common cause and a common front against the institutions that they commonly despise. Chris says, hey, Ben, I'm a trucker. I wanted to thank you and everyone at TW for giving people an outlet to get honest news. My question is, if the Republicans manage to take back the House and Senate in 2022, is there any means to expand the Civil Rights Act to include political stance? And if so, should they? As it is currently not socially acceptable to be on the right. Thank you. Well, here's the thing. If you're going to include everything ranging from gender identification to religion to sex to, you know, pretty much everything in the Civil Rights Act, and the one thing you are allowed to discriminate on the basis of is political affiliation, I think that you might have to, right? I don't like anti-discrimination law generally, because I think that the free markets take care of this problem as a general rule, so long as there is free movement of labor. With that said, if you're going to have anti-discrimination law that encroaches on freedom of association, you can make exceptions for things like political companies, so that you're not crimping the freedom of speech of political companies, for example, so Daily Wire doesn't have to hire pro-abortion fanatics. But the notion that common carriers, right, or public accommodations don't get to discriminate on the basis of politics, that seems like a logical outgrowth of where the left is going these days, so why not? Kathleen says, dear Ben, given your pro-COVID-19 vaccine position, would you vaccinate your child at 16 years of age? My husband and I, as well as our children who are 22 and 20, have received the vaccine. I've paused with our youngest. Also, what resources do you refer to when making decisions like these? Thank you for giving a voice to conservative values. So my inclination would be to give one dose to my kid at 16 and then wait 3, 4, or 5 months. The reason I say that is because that's what Marty McCary says. So I will admit, everyone has a cheat sheet, right? I'm not a medical expert. My wife is a doctor. She has takes on this. Marty McCary studies this stuff in depth pretty much every day. So he's been my cheat sheet since the beginning of this COVID outbreak. I call him, I text him with personal questions as to what family members should do. So he essentially acts as almost a quasi-family physician, informing me what he thinks is useful. So that's my cheat sheet, and I convey that advice to you. I would consider vaccinating my kid at 16 with one dose, because the effects seem to be mild for one dose with no real side effects. All the side effects seem to be cropping up at dose two. With that said, that doesn't satisfy a lot of the vaccine requirements of the school, so you really don't get that much out of it. So I see the arguments on both sides. I don't think it's vital to vaccinate your 16-year-old in the same way it's vital to vaccinate a 75-year-old. But that's sort of my take. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second first. So you know Helix Mattress, right? I talk about them all the time. They make a great mattress. I sleep on that mattress. But now they also make couches through a new company called Allform. So I'm a sofa guy, right? I do my work sitting on a sofa. I'll take a nap on my Allform sofa. And we have the three-seat sofa with chaise and the sand color with espresso legs. It's super duper comfortable. It is really durable, which is great because my kids wreck everything. And it's customizable. You can pick your fabric, the sofa color, color of the legs, sofa size and shape. Make sure it's perfect for you and your home. Plus, it's modular, which means you can keep adding to it. They've got armchairs and love seats all the way up to an 8-seat sectional, so there's something for everyone. You can start small, and you can buy more seats later on when you want your Allform sofa to grow and change with you when you move. Go check out Allform today. They want to do their part. They are offering exclusive discounts for teachers, students, military, and first responders. And if getting a sofa without trying it in the store sounds crazy, well, you don't need to worry. You've got 100 days to decide if you even like it, which is more than 3 months. And if you don't like it, they'll pick it up for free and give you a full refund. They've got a forever warranty, literally for all time. To find your perfect sofa, check out allform.com/Ben. That's allform.com/Ben. And Allform is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/Ben. Daniel says, do you think GOA versus Garland in the Sixth Circuit will reach SCOTUS? If they win, what ripple effects do you think will be caused in regards to Chevron deference or the executive branch as a whole? So I think that Chevron is on really shaky ground. So GOA versus Garland is a case about bump stock bans. It's Gun Owners of America versus Garland. So you'll remember that the Biden administration came in and they issued on the basis of basically very little statutory authority a bump stock ban. And the Sixth Circuit just vacated it. They said the bump stocks are not machine guns, and so you actually don't have the authority to just do that. I think that the impact on Chevron could be really great. I mean, I think that, so Chevron deference is a doctrine in a case called Chevron, in which the Supreme Court of the United States essentially found that administrative agencies have extraordinary authority over interpreting their empowering statutes. So, for example, you have the Environmental Protection Act. It establishes the Environmental Protection Authority, and it says stuff like, do good stuff for the environment. How does the EPA actually go about implementing that? So, typically speaking, you're not allowed to delegate so much power to the EPA that they are essentially a legislative body. Otherwise, the legislature doesn't exist. Otherwise, there's just a funding mechanism for the executive branch. So there have to be some limitations. Chevron deference suggests that if you, the citizen, don't like the way that the EPA interprets its own authority, you might not be able to go to a court to try and limit the EPA. The EPA is best placed to determine its own authority. That is that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because it actually destroys the constitutional balance between the legislative and the executive branch. So for a while, Chevron has been skating on pretty thin ice. It seems pretty clear there's a majority to strike down Chevron at this point. I think that's going to happen in the next couple of years, and it will dramatically change the way the government is done, because administrative agencies will now need to be given specific direction as to what they can and cannot do from the legislature. Otherwise, they will be subjected to de novo review by courts. Courts will look at the statute, they will look at what the administrative agency is doing, and they will say whether it is within the scope of their authority, which is much better. You do need an independent authority to appeal to. You can't have agencies determining their own authority. Emily says, hey, Ben, we need help. I live in Texas. Our school district has gone against the governor's order and imposed a mask mandate. I took my six-year-old to school on his first day without a mask on. Shortly after I dropped him off, they forced him to wear a mask provided by the school. When my wife picked him up, he was very sad and didn't want to go back. I communicated with the teacher. She couldn't do much. We spoke with the principal. She agreed the mandate was wrong. All she could do was give us an excused absence. At the same time, I've been communicating with a newly elected member of the board. He says the board has no power to do anything. I'm now meeting with a director in the district. Regardless, my son will go back to school maskless. I need help. I don't know who's going to side with me. Can you offer any advice or coverage? Well, theoretically, you could file a lawsuit, right, especially if it's a public school. Also, you could mobilize the entire student body, right? See how many parents are willing to actually go along with this. And find out how many parents in the school are willing to go along with this, because one thing is true. They cannot just excuse the absence 2/3 of the student population. So you're in Texas. I assume a huge percentage of the students are not interested in masking. If all of a sudden all the students walked in unmasked, it'd be very difficult for the superintendent to say, okay, everybody has to stay home now, in defiance of state law. Araceli says, hey, Ben, I want to start off by saying I'm a huge fan. I own 3 of your books, which have been profound and enriching to my life. My question to you is, will you ever make a series about your history of trending topics with mainstream media they tend to obscure? For example, your video on the Israel and Palestinian feud. Very informative. I'd love a book version in the style of information you give on a variety of topics. Something to carry and not be compromised in getting deleted or banned from the internet in some shape or form. So we do have our debunked transcripts, which essentially are this. Those are available behind the paywall over at DailyWire.com. But yeah, we'll probably at some point put together a compendium of sort of almost an encyclopedia of Shapiro takes on these particular topics. they do appear in kind of short form over at dailywire.com fairly regularly. Luca says, hey, man, I'm a social conservative for the most part. I don't know how other social conservatives like you feel about tattoos. I have some tattoos and plan to get more. I keep them decent and appropriate. How do you feel about tattoos? Would you ever get one? Love the work you do. I'm your biggest fan. So Orthodox Judaism not big on the tattoos, meaning that in Leviticus it says you're not supposed to mark your body, so Orthodox Jews typically do not get tattoos. I'm not a huge fan of tattoos, to be honest with you. Do I think that it makes you a lesser human to have a tattoo? Not really. I think that there's places you can get tattoos that are unwise. I think, you know, having the Mike Tyson face tattoo is a pretty dumb move. I think neck tattoos are pretty stupid. It's going to lower your employment ability. But, you know, do I think it's the end of the world if somebody gets it? I just think, like, I've convinced people not to get tattoos. Right? I have. I've spoken with people and I said, I don't know why you'd want to permanently mark your body with something. Your opinion on the thing could change. You're going to get old and wrinkly. And if you want to memorialize something, you know, get a nice watch and engrave the back of the watch. And that way, if you ever regret it, you can, you know, re-engrave the watch or get a new watch. Ken says, hey, Ben, please tell me you have reached rock bottom as a country. If not, how much worse will it get? How could it possibly get any worse? Well, it can always get worse, man. It's always darkest right before it hits pitch black. I think that it could get worse if you see states trying to cram down, for example, their gender non-conforming idiocy on private schools, remove nonprofit status from churches. Now, I think it can definitely get worse. But I think it's going to get better in the near future as people from blue states flee to red states in order not to vote blue, but to vote red. I think that as the red states become more powerful, you're going to start to see some pretty harsh blowback against the blue state policies that are making the country significantly worse. Chelsea says, hey, Ben, you've mentioned Jewish school for both you and your kids in the past. I was wondering if you learned Hebrew fluently. I'm learning Hebrew for my Master's of Divinity. Was wondering if you have any tips. I'm currently losing it over vowels, as it seems like the rules randomly change, especially in regards to yud. As with proper nouns, it can be either J or I. Well, in Hebrew, it's just Y, basically, right? And it works just like Y, meaning it's either EY, or it's just, if you're starting with it, it's yeah, and if it's being received, then it's E, or I, theoretically. But that's kind of similar to English, actually. But yeah, Hebrew's actually a fairly easy language to learn because it's all based on Shorashim. It's all based on like three letter roots. But it ain't as hard as English, that's for sure. Alrighty. Coming up, we'll be joined by Ami Horowitz. He had the temerity to go to Berkeley and ask whether anyone wanted to donate to the Taliban. Turns out he found some takers. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR. Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody!
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Redding Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Dan Beans, Director of Redding Electric Utility. Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming in proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Ami Horowitz. He, of course, produces YouTube and Facebook videos that have garnered over 500 million views and that have affected global change. He also works with us here at Daily Wire to put out some of his new videos. So he has a brand new video on college campuses asking people to provide money for the Taliban. Ami, how did that go?
Oh, not too good. I guess depending on your perspective. For me, it went great. You know, a lot of times when I'm sitting around dreaming about, you know, my next idea and drinking a bunch of scotch, some people call self-medication, I always think to myself, okay, I've gone too far. There's no way I can do this next thing, right? And there's no way. But the left never surprises me on the downside. So this particular video, this particular thing I was dreaming up was, hey, there's no way I could raise money for the Taliban to kill Americans, right? For a new 9/11. There's no way. So I went to Berkeley to test it out, hidden camera, hidden sound guy. And, lo and behold, we raised hundreds of dollars for the Taliban to kill Americans. You know, oftentimes, when I do this, you know, I have to hire people. My crew are always on the left, right? Because people in the creative world are always left of center, if not leftist. And at that one point, I'm sitting there and, I get a text from my camera guy. Just to me, Ami, can you, we stop a second? Can you please, you know, come around the corner and talk to me? I said, okay. So I went around the corner. He goes, look, are you punking me? I said, what do you mean? He said, is this for real? Like, this got to be actors. He couldn't process what he was watching. That's how disturbing this video was.
So what did you actually say to people to elicit the response that they said, sure, here's my checkbook. I want to sign this check to the Taliban. Did you tell them that the money was for the Taliban? Did you tell them what they intended to use the money for? Did they think it was for education in the third world? Like, how did you elicit these responses?
Yeah, I was very clear about the use of proceeds. So I began by yelling and screaming and chanting, I'm raising money for the Taliban. Please, you want to support the Taliban, come to me. And by the way, I would have been the happiest person in the world if I got punched in the face. Okay. And I'll tell you in a second what, you know, ultimately with the, you know, I want to make sure people realize I'm not cherry picking. But I was very clear. They came up to me. I said, look, I'm working for the Taliban. We want to raise money. We want to use the money to attack American interests around the world. We want to use the money to kill Americans both abroad and in the homeland. I specifically said 9/11 wasn't enough of a wake-up call for America. We need a new 9/11 in America. I could not have been clearer with the money. One guy said to me, looked at me, goes, I want to work for you. People, I know it's hard to believe what I'm saying here. People have to go and watch the whole video. It is astounding. It is astonishing. It's beyond belief.
So how many people did you actually talk to, and how many people actually said that they would donate money to the Taliban?
So we probably end up stopping and talking to 30 people, and I would maybe 25 people, and I would say 15 people actually wanted to donate money and donated money to the cause. Now, again, the important statistics on the other side also is that only one person objected to what I was doing. He looked at me and said, I'm sorry, I want to get this straight. You're raising money for the Taliban? I said, yes. He goes, I'm not interested. That was it. Everybody else said, no, I'm not, you know, they walked
away. I didn't
know
one called cops on you. I'm confused that nobody even bothered. I mean, I understand the police are not exactly in fine fettle in Berkeley, but how does nobody, like, if I were walking around on the street and somebody were walking around screaming that they wanted to raise money for the Taliban to commit terrorist attacks on the country, My first response would be, okay, I need to call the cops right now. And this, there was none of this at any point?
0.0. Ben, you're a relatively normal person, okay? But the truth is, we're talking about the left. What do I do with my videos is I am able to uncover the id of the left, right? That's what I'm able to do. That's my skill set. I am able to make them feel comfortable to the quiet part out loud. That's what I do. This is a logical extension of the leftist ideals. The number one ideal for the left is the hatred for the West and specifically the United States. So if you have a hatred for the U.S., if you think the U.S. is the fountain of all evil, then I don't know. I don't know what it makes sense that they want to destroy America, right? And I'm giving them the opportunity to do that. They can feel like they're involved. They are righteous, virtuous people who have the opportunity to show their virtue through donating to something to kill Americans, destroy America. So if you really think about it, as sick as it is, it does make a little bit of sense.
So, Ami, not that you should be a narc or anything, but did you get the names of these people? Because I feel like we probably should have some sort of red flag watch on people who openly acknowledge that they would like to donate money for terrorist attacks. Like, I feel like law enforcement probably should know about that.
Yeah, I think probably I'll try to keep a list next time. But, you know, unfortunately, this time I was a little bit too involved in raising money for my buddies over to Afghanistan.
Oh, man. Well, Ami Horowitz, always entertaining and always you have a knack for creating horrifying video with some of the most nefarious people in America. So at least this time you didn't go into a supremely dangerous area. I mean, Berkeley is not. I've been there. It ain't that bad.
I could take down a couple of hippies.
All right, that's Ami Horowitz. All righty, everybody, we've reached the end of the week, but we'll be back here next with much, much more. So make sure that you have a relaxing weekend. We'll be here to recap on Monday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear arguments in the case involving the Texas law that bans most abortions.
Moving at an unusually fast pace, the justices have scheduled arguments for November 1st. They will decide whether the federal government has the right to sue over the Texas law. Answering that question will help determine whether the law should be blocked while legal challenges continue. In the meantime, the High Court is leaving the pro-life law in place. The Biden administration is seeking to block it, which bans abortions once a heartbeat is detected. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Also at townhall.com, Republican lawmakers calling on the president to back down from his vaccine mandate.
A group of senators led by Republicans Dan Sullivan of Alaska and Tommy Tuberville of Alabama sent a letter to President Biden this week calling his mandates unconstitutional. They cited the administration's executive order that all federal employees and contractors be vaccinated, as well as a forthcoming vaccine mandate from the Labor Department for private companies. The senators write, quote, while the Supreme Court has upheld the ability of states to mandate vaccines during a pandemic, there is no precedent for the federal government to mandate vaccines for contractors, private employers, or individual Americans. Bob Agner reporting.
A woman is charged with killing her father, sister, and two workers in Michigan. Clare County prosecutor says 54-year-old Judy Boyer had a journal with names of other people that she had intended to kill. In Florida, two police officers wounded during a shootout that left the gunman dead. Authorities say both officers will survive. And authorities continued the probe into Thursday's shooting in Tacoma, Washington. Four young people were killed. The search continues for the suspect. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then, just 3 months later,
extortion went 7, requesting permission to take off.
A U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others entered the Taguig Valley.
I saw a flash, you seen a flash? Anybody out there, we have a fallen angel. Roger.
Extortion 1-7, the provocative new film telling the story of the largest loss of life in U.S. Special Forces history. Now playing on SalemNow.com. Questions quickly arise. Why did it take 17 minutes to fly a 10-minute mission?
Was there Black Fox on board?
Every American should be taught about what happened in Extortion 17.
What really happened? The SEAL Team 6, that dreadful night. Fallen Angel. Extortion 17. The story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com.
In California, Governor Gavin Newsom's plan to ban new oil and gas wells within 3,200 feet of neighborhood sites, drawing a lot of pushback from the oil industry and its labor allies.
The ambitious proposal would be the nation's largest required distance between oil wells and sites like schools, homes, and hospitals. It has a long way to go before it becomes official state policy, and it could be altered. It wouldn't shut down existing wells, but would make them follow new pollution controls. California is the seventh largest oil and gas producing state.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. In Northern California, residents preparing for a massive storm this weekend that could bring flash flooding to vast areas that have been scorched by wildfires. Residents had been relieved when rain started to fall last week. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. What a frenzy of trading for the company planning to bring former President Donald Trump's new media venture to the stock market.
Trading had to be stopped temporarily for Digital World Acquisition Corp. after its stock value nearly tripled. It ended the day with a 107% gain. It plans to merge with Trump Media and Technology Group. The new venture is the Truth Social app with Trump as its chairman. The idea is to challenge Facebook, Twitter, and even Disney's streaming video service. Some investors appear to be believers in Donald Trump's ideology. Others appear simply to be grabbing for a chance at a quick profit. The last time Donald Trump ran a publicly traded company, Trump Entertainment Resorts, it didn't end up well for investors. I'm Ed Donahue.
On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was up 74 points. NASDAQ lost 125. S&P 500 down 4 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with VPN, so should you. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Virginia is now down to the wire, and Democrats are deeply upset about it. The polls are showing it is neck and neck between Glenn Youngkin, the Republican in that race, and Terry McAuliffe, the former Virginia governor and head of the DNC. McAuliffe should have been running away with this race. Remember that Hillary Clinton won this state going away. Joe Biden won this state going away. And now you got a neck and neck race between Glenn Youngkin, who's a pretty traditional Republican, and Terry McAuliffe, who's a normally traditional Democrat. And this should be a walkover, which is why James Carville, the semi-centrist Democrat analyst, he's saying he's deeply worried about what's going on in Virginia, and they should be.
We're in a very tight race, and Democrats need to be activated. I do think that Trump has a tug against Youngkin. I've seen a lot of research on that. Of course, he said he wouldn't be running without Trump, and he tries to run away from him. He's kind of slippery, but yeah, it's close. There's no doubt about it, and I'm scared to death. And other Democrats should be.
Okay, what Carville is pointing out here is that all of the attempts to tie Youngkin to Trump have failed, and that is why Youngkin is doing well. Right now, all of the polls show that he is neck and neck with McAuliffe, and the reason for that is because people are focusing on the bread and butter issues. Suburban moms are focusing in on the failures of education in the state of Virginia, and it's not just about the Virginia gubernatorial race. According to Politico, the Virginia House is up for grabs as well. Quote, Alex Askew knows firsthand how tight elections can get for Democrats in Virginia. He barely won his seat in the state House of Delegates, defeating his Republican opponent by 802 votes in 2019. That's why Askew is campaigning furiously ahead of the November election. On the first Sunday of Souls to the Polls early voting over the weekend, Askew, 36, attended two church services before an afternoon of campaign events and canvassing. He was joined by a colleague, State Delegate Nancy Guy, who clinched her seat by an even closer margin of just 40 votes. When Virginia voters cast their ballots in 2 weeks, they're not just weighing in on a closely watched governor's election, one that's been hyped as a bellwether ahead of the 2022 midterms and a judgment on President Joe Biden. They're also deciding whether to keep legislative Democrats in office, a choice that will determine how much statewide power the party will yield and reveal voter satisfaction with the crush of progressive laws enacted in the last 2 years. Remember, Virginia, when it went blue, started immediately pushing very radical measures that a large percentage of Virginians didn't like, everything from gun control to transgender bathrooms. Virginia might become increasingly blue at the presidential level, but Democrats only came to control both chambers of the state legislature in 2019 after nearly two decades of mostly Republican control. And next month, they could lose control of both the governor's mansion and the House all in one day. It is a disaster for Democrats because they overshot the mark. Democrats have a nasty habit of taking power and then believing that their entire radical mandate has now been approved by the voters. That is not true. Democrats spent the last 2 years passing a long list of sweeping policies. They implemented criminal justice reform, legalized marijuana, expanded voting rights, raised the minimum wage, enacted gun control, repealed the death penalty, and set a goal of getting Virginia electric utilities to 100% renewable generation by 2050. State House Democrats have raised almost twice as much money as the Republicans, but they're still struggling. And it's a real problem. And one of the reasons it's a real problem is because the battle between parents and teachers is growing extraordinarily serious in Loudoun County, particularly. A shocking story out of WTOP.com today. Remember, we reported at Daily Wire the news that there was an alleged sexual assault in a bathroom at a Loudoun County public school. And the parent of the daughter in that particular case then went to a school board meeting where one of the superintendents of the school board said that there had been no such assault on record in a bathroom anywhere. Well, now it turns out that guy was just lying. According to an email uncovered, the superintendent of Loudoun County Public Schools did send a brief confidential email to school board members on May 28th, the same day a female student at Stonebridge High School said she was sexually assaulted in a bathroom. In an email provided to WTOP by the school system, Superintendent Scott Ziegler alerted the board that the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office was investigating the incident but provided few details. The purpose of this email is to provide you with information regarding an incident that occurred at Stonebridge High School. This afternoon, a female student alleged that a male student sexually assaulted her in a restroom. The LCSO is investigating the matter, according to Ziegler. Last week, Ziegler apologized for the school system's reaction to recent sexual assaults by students and outlined steps he said would improve the system going forward. That assault was not made public until the victim's father told the Daily Wire that the same 15-year-old charged in the daughter's attack was later charged with groping a different girl at Broad Run High School on October 6th. Loudoun County Commonwealth Attorneys Buddha Bibaraj told WTOP the same 15-year-old has been charged in both crimes. Bibaraj said the boy was on pretrial electronic monitoring for the May 28th sexual assault when he was charged with sexual battery and abduction for the October incident. Remember, Ziegler had said in public that they had no record of anybody being assaulted in a bathroom. Bill Stanley, the attorney representing the family, said in a statement, Ziegler's comments confirmed what the family already believed, that the school's board and administration failed to provide a safe environment for their child. This has become a gubernatorial issue, of course, because the Republican candidate Youngkin has been accusing the county of a cover-up and noting that the school system run by the teachers' unions has been doing a poor job of protecting students and failing to indoctrinate them as well. In a Thursday statement, LCPS said it was releasing Ziegler's email after it received a number of questions from community members regarding it and if and when the school board was made aware of the alleged sexual assault. The school board was not provided specific details or the names of those involved and were advised by Dr. Ziegler that they would not receive updates regarding this matter as it was being investigated by the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office. So the big question is why Ziegler answered no to a school board member's question about whether he was aware of sexual assaults in school bathrooms. Ziegler said he wrongly interpreted the question as incidents involving transgender and gender fluid students, since the questions moments earlier had been about the county's transgender policy. But if the entire line of questioning was about whether girls are at higher risk if boys can come into the bathroom, then that seems like a relevant consideration. So people are going to lose their jobs over this as well. They should. Meanwhile, in an attempt to fight back, Terry McAuliffe is activating the teachers' unions. Not only are the teachers' unions actually cutting ads on behalf of Terry McAuliffe in Virginia, it turns out that the teachers' unions are now using public dollars in order to stump for Terry McAuliffe. There's no other way to interpret what is happening in, for example, Richmond. According to WWBT, in a Richmond Public School direct update on Wednesday evening, Superintendent Jason Camras said the division will be closing school additional days the first week of November to help with employees' mental health. Now, that sounds like it might be kind of a coincidence, right? Because students already had off November 2nd for Election Day, November 4th for Diwali, November 5th for virtual parent-teacher conferences. Now, the division is going to close November 1st and November 3rd. So, namely, the day before the election, they're going to close the schools so the teachers can go out and knock doors. That's exactly what is going on here. There's no other way to read that. Okay, that is not about the teachers experiencing mental stress, poor teachers. It's about a pretty obvious gambit to get the teachers to get out there and canvass votes. As National Review points out, the statement could have been designed in a laboratory to annoy parents. It has everything. Unacceptably short notice, the rank prioritization of teachers over children, an acknowledgement that government employees failed to do their jobs, an absurd safetyist rationale. Oh, and also the notion that COVID-19 is responsible for this. All in time for Election Day. So Virginia is a real bellwether for the Democrats. If this thing is even close, Democrats are going to be in an utter state of panic. And this is why, and Terry McAuliffe has been doing a horrible job of this, because all he's been doing is downplaying parent concerns this entire election cycle. How long can you do this before parents rebel? Terry McAuliffe yesterday, for example, he was asked about trans students in sports, and instead of taking the question seriously, he suggested that really nobody should worry about it because there are very few trans students in sports, which makes no difference if a competitive boy is running against girls.
We're talking about a very infinitesimal amount of students. And why is it, why? These children are already going through such tough challenges. Why is it that people are trying to make their life so difficult? I come from a place, you know, I got big ideas. We've got to move education forward. And why are we picking on children? Why are we going after children who are already dealing with so many challenges? Why are we not helping them and trying to lift them up and trying to find an avenue path so that they can get that education and feel comfortable?
Good line of attack here by Terry McAuliffe, that if you are a parent who is concerned about a boy racing against your girl or wrestling your girl or being in a bathroom with your girl, that this means that you are somehow a bigot. It's a strong move by him. And the Biden administration, by the way, has taken up this message at the national level. You'll recall that it became a national controversy when, because of cases like Loudoun County, the DOJ started talking about how they were going to investigate parents as possible domestic terrorists. So Merrick Garland, who was supposed to be, remember, this kind of nonpartisan figure. You remember when Barack Obama nominated him for the Supreme Court, and then he was denied his confirmation hearings because of Senator McConnell. And the notion was that he was going to be just, you know, a completely nonpartisan justice. He wasn't going to be just a hack. Well, turns out he's a hack. Garland, in testimony yesterday, admits that he initiated that DOJ targeting of parents because of a specific letter from the National School Board Association. They wrote a letter to the DOJ saying that parents were out of control and like domestic terrorists, and the DOJ flipped and boom, started investigating parents. Here's Merrick Garland admitting it.
First sentence of your memo, the very first sentence, you said, in recent months, there's been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, threats of violence.
Yes.
When did you first review the data showing this so-called disturbing uptick?
So I read the letter, and we have been seeing over time threats.
Whoa. I didn't ask you. So you read the letter. That's your source?
So let me be clear. This is not a prosecution or an investigation.
Is there some study, some effort, some investigation someone did that said there's been a disturbing uptick, or you just take the words of the National School Board Association?
Well, the National School Board Association, which represents thousands of school boards and school board members, says that there are these kind of threats.
Unbelievable. So basically, the National School Boards Association, because they wish to defend school boards against parents, send a letter to the DOJ. The DOJ just says, how high should we jump? Pretty incredible stuff. Well, Terry McAuliffe is flailing. He's already called in Barack Obama in order to try and shore up his campaign. And now, unbelievably, he's going to try and call in Joe Biden, which is a giant fail, according to Fox News, as the polls show the Virginia gubernatorial election neck and neck between former Governor Terry McAuliffe and Republican candidate Glenn Youngkin. President Biden is scheduled to appear with the Democrat on the campaign trail. I'm sure that'll be a barn burner. The McAuliffe campaign put out a media advisory alerting the press that Biden would campaign with McAuliffe in Arlington on Tuesday, exactly 1 week before the election. McAuliffe announced the Biden event along with a slew of other events featuring politicians from Virginia and the nation at large. They're trying to nationalize the campaign because the more local it is, the more likely McAuliffe loses. So they're going to call in Obama. They're going to call in Stacey Abrams. They're calling Jamie Harrison. And they're going to call in Joe Biden. The big problem, of course, is that Joe Biden is not popular in the state of Virginia. In fact, Joe Biden is not popular nearly anywhere. The polls right now show that Joe Biden is in the low 40s to high 30s in terms of approval rating. So Democrats are flailing, and you will see why in just a moment, because Joe Biden did a town hall presser last night, a town hall with Anderson Cooper on CNN. It is a disaster area. The president of the United States is not with us, but he has a prescription, and it's more cowbell. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's be clear about this. You think that you're safe because you're using incognito mode when you go online. After all, you're incognito. Well, here's the thing. You really are not, because the fact is your online activity can still be tracked. If you really want to stop people from seeing the sites you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times you've used Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, a hotel, even at your parents' house. Without ExpressVPN, every site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. And that's true even when you're in incognito mode. I mean, you really want your parents to see what you've been looking at, or basically anybody else. What's more, your home internet provider can also see and record your browsing data. In the U.S., they're legally allowed to sell that data to advertisers. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts all your network data, reroutes it through a network of secure servers, so your private online activity stays just that, private. ExpressVPN works on all your devices. It is super easy to use. The app literally has one button. You tap it to connect. Your browsing activity is secure from prying eyes. So, stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/ben. Use my link, expressvpn.com/ben. Get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/ben to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, Terry McAuliffe is calling for backup from slow Joe Biden. That's not going to go well. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Mosley Family Cellars Harvest Festival is Saturday, October 23rd from 2 to 5 p.m. at 4712 Mountain Lakes Boulevard in the Caterpillar Industrial Area. Dress up in your favorite costume and join Mosley Family Cellars Harvest Festival featuring a fun-filled afternoon with a pumpkin painting competition for kids and adults, local vendors, yard games, and wine and Halloween candy pairing for those 21 and older. Don't miss this spectacular event at Mosley Family Cellars on Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Tickets are available at the entrance or online at mosleyfamilycellars.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Fern Creek, and Airport Road. Come check out our sale October 18th through the 31st. With this fall weather, it's a perfect time to save big when ordering your sod for your yard or planting a winter garden. Garden Power soil is only $45.99 a yard. King Kong winterizer fertilizer for only $24.99 a bag. Need to update your tools? All hand tools, including shovels, rakes, picks, and more, all drastically reduced. Been wanting a patio or pathway? Baselite pavers and retaining wall is all on sale. As always, Lauk's Landscape Supply carries all your sand, soils, barks, and gravels for your projects, whether you pick up or we deliver. Now's the chance to save big October 18th through the 31st at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Fern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out on the web at louckslandscape.com or give us a call at 378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Terry McAuliffe is calling for backup from Joe Biden. Yeah, good luck to him. That's going to go extremely poorly. Joe Biden is not the backup that you need if you are Terry McAuliffe. The reason being, if you call Joe Biden for backup, he is just going to fall over. That's all that's going to be. He is going to pop out of the car, and then he is going to immediately keel over and say a bunch of impolitic things along the way. So he did this town hall last night with Anderson Cooper. He is facing down a crisis in terms of inflation, a supply chain crisis. He is facing down a border crisis. He gave up Afghanistan, completely destroying whatever possibility of a future there was for 19 million Afghan women, as well as thousands of SIV holders who are still sitting imprisoned in Afghanistan. He's got crises up the wazoo, the president of the United States. And so they sent him out there to stop the bleeding. The problem is that if you're going to send someone out there to stop the bleeding, you don't want them congenitally falling on their own knife. Like, that's a big mistake. And that's what Joe Biden did. I mean, this is just Joe Biden has fallen and he cannot get up. So here is so Joe Biden began. We'll start with what he said politically, and then we'll get to just the fact that the man is not with us. He is no longer with us. So he began by trying to defend all of his vaccine mandates. And now here's the thing. With people who have already been vaccinated, they're fine with vaccine mandates because it doesn't apply to them. It's sort of like when you poll the American public on taxing the very wealthy. Most Americans are not very wealthy, so they're like, okay, it applies to that guy, not me, so I'm okay with it. But that is not the question. The question is whether it is high priority for most Americans to force their neighbors to get vaccinated and whether people who are anti the vax mandates are very passionate. Okay, and they are. The answer is they are. And when they become an intransigent minority, which is what we have been seeing at places like Southwest Airlines or GE, they can shut down the entire economy. They can shut down major businesses saying we are not going to do something that you are trying to force us to do. So Joe Biden's tack here is to say that if he forces you to get a vaccine against your will or to vaccinate your child against your will, which is what they're trying to do with kids 12 to 19. And I guarantee you within 3 weeks, they're going to be trying to do this with kids 5 to 11. When Joe Biden says this, when his take on this is stop whining about your freedom, this old authoritarian, that ain't going to go over great.
The two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue, freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on, freedom.
Come on, freedom. Come on. Okay, so I love the line, I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. I mean, nobody wants to kill anybody else with COVID. Okay, that's why we have the vaccine. If you don't want to die of COVID, I have a good solution for you. Get a vaccine. Okay, and if you are immunocompromised, even if you take the vaccine, that's not going to be enough. You need to protect yourself with the KN95. You need to be in a more isolated area, period. Beyond which, even if you're vaccinated, you can now pass the disease. We know this for a fact. A huge number of people who are being infected with COVID already have been vaccinated. So this baseline, so basically what he's now arguing is that you have no right to breathe free air. That's what he's arguing. Because if the idea is that your mere breath creates externalities, whether you're vaccinated or non-vaccinated, we are talking now about masking up until the end of time. That is a freedom issue. That's a freedom issue, especially when, again, everyone around you has the freedom to protect themselves. As I've said before, what Joe Biden is basically arguing is no longer that you must wear a seatbelt. What he is arguing is that if somebody else doesn't wear a seatbelt, you have to put a mattress on the front of your car to catch them when they go flying through their windshield. And that is a very different argument. And not only is it a different argument, it's a bad argument coming from the president of the United States. Oh, you people worried about your freedom. How do anybody think that this guy's a good politician is absolutely beyond me. He is thick as an unripe coconut. It's incredible. Okay, so moving on from his vaccine policies, which are deeply unlikely to actually bring an end to the pandemic, he then is asked about rising gas prices, because as it turns out, inflation is crippling a lot of American families right now. The gas prices are out of control, and prices at the shelves are out of control. We're seeing major supply shortages. Here is Joe Biden's wonderful answer on the gas prices.
So I must tell you, I don't have a near-term answer. There's two things I could do. I could go in the petroleum reserve and take out and probably reduce the price of gas maybe 18 cents or so a gallon. It's still going to be above $3. Mm. And one of the things that I refused to have happen, because I didn't want anybody, I made a commitment, if you pass the stuff I'm talking about, not one single penny in tax would go against anybody making less than 400 grand. And so, if you notice, these highway bills are not paid for by gas tax. They're paid for by direct expenditures in other areas. So the average person doesn't have to pay more.
So really, he's lowering your gas price by spending a lot of money. Get it? No? Because he's incoherently babbling like a crazy person? Yeah. That is the president of the United States right there. Well done, everybody. Then Joe Biden is asked about the labor shortages, because we have tremendous labor shortages in this country. We have 10 million open jobs. We have millions of people who aren't going to fill them. And his answer is less than satisfying, shall we say.
People are now using this as an opportunity to say, wait a minute, do I want to go back to that $7 an hour job? I won't name the particular restaurant chain, but they found out when they couldn't hire anybody. When they found out they started to pay 20 bucks an hour, everybody wanted to go back to work. Not a joke.
Okay, so he's admitting the quiet part out loud, guys. He's making my case. He's now admitting that people are faking about being afraid of COVID in order to raise their own wages. Right? That they are relying on government benefits to try to pry higher wages out of businesses that are then going to pass on that cost to consumers. Because when you artificially raise the cost of labor, just like if you artificially raise the cost of any other input in a product, you artificially raise the price of the product at the end of the supply chain. And so he's admitting it. And he's happy about it. Right? He's happy that he's artificially increasing the wages of labor, which is resulting in the inflation that we are seeing right now. He is creating the labor shortages, and he's excited about it. He thinks it's a good thing. That isn't a bug. That's a feature of his plan. So if you're worried about inflation, he's promising you more of it. If you're concerned about supply shortages, he's saying it's good that there are supply shortages, because finally those $7 an hour workers will be getting 25 bucks an hour for the same work. Now, I have a question for you. Do you think that their labor suddenly became worth $25 an hour? Or do you think that price is just going to get passed on to you, the consumer? And to those same workers, by the way. Because right now, inflation is outpacing wage growth. So his entire plan is a fail, but it's always more cowbell. Always and forever, more cowbell. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden, again, just admitting quiet parts out loud. So he basically admits now that Jill is running him. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Mosley Family Sellers Harvest Festival is Saturday, October 23rd from 2 to 5 p.m. at 4712 Mountain Lakes Boulevard in the Caterpillar Industrial Area. Dress up in your favorite costume and join Mosley Family Sellers Harvest Festival, featuring a fun-filled afternoon with a pumpkin painting competition for kids and adults, local vendors, yard games, and wine and Halloween candy pairing for those 21 and older. Don't miss this spooktacular event at Mosley Family Cellars on Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Tickets are available at the entrance or online at mosleyfamilycellars.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is the safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
What do your neighbors say about the Fountain Wind Project?
The Fountain Wind Project is near and dear to my heart. We need more electric producing facilities.
The job creation, the money that's going to go to Shasta County from the tax revenues, the construction jobs that are going to benefit all of our businesses, you know, that's the heart of this.
The project is predicted to generate over $50 million. Fountain Wind
is bringing high-paying jobs to this area, not just for the construction period, but long after.
I support what wind and energy brings to us as a community, as a state, as a country, in the world.
We all know right now fire prevention and fuels reduction are key topics, and especially in the area that we live in. So join me in helping to see the Fountain Wind Project come to fruition.
Join your neighbors and support Fountain Wind to bring increased fire prevention, $50 million in tax revenue, and clean energy to Shasta County.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
It's the Ramsey Show. Talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
901-3689.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden, he's not with us, but apparently Jill is in control of whether we spend, you know, billions of dollars on community college education. Joe Biden decided that he would talk a little bit about his economic plans. He suggested, for example, that he would be sleeping alone if he could not get free community college done, which, yeah, we know Jill is really running the administration, Joe. We get it.
The question was on the community colleges, which was a big campaign promise that you made. You talked about that along the campaign trail.
Yeah, and I'm going to get it done. And if I don't, I'll be sleeping alone for a long time. But here's the deal.
It's the honeymooners now. We all have to pay for community college so that he can get some from his wife, apparently. That's great. Terrific, Joe. Also, Joe says that I wish you were telling the truth here. He says that we have a commitment to defend Taiwan if China should militarily attack Taiwan. This is immediately walked back by the White House.
I don't want a Cold War with China. I just want to make China understand that we are not going to step back. We are not going to change any of our views.
So are you saying that the United States would come to Taiwan's defense if China attacked?
Yes, we have a commitment to do that.
Okay, so then the White House walked that back. Like, oh, well, we haven't changed any status quo. No, we don't want to offend the Chinese. So even when Joe Biden says something right, he says something wrong. Okay, and all of this is ancillary to the major question here, which is whether Joe Biden is even competent to hold his office. And the answer, of course, is that he is not. He is now in late-stage weirdness, right? As if you've ever had an elderly relative who's starting to lose it, there are certain tics that you see that are just strange. And Joe Biden is not, he's non-compos mentis. He is not with us. So during the middle of this town hall, Joe Biden was talking about the Long Beach port, and he started asking what he was doing.
I was able to go to the private ports with 40% of all products coming into the United States of America on the West Coast go through Los Angeles and what am I doing here?
Is it Long Beach?
Long Beach, thank you.
oh my God, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? So remember that time that Rick Perry ran for president and he wanted to name three departments that he wanted to cut and he only came up with two and it ended his presidential campaign? Here you have the president of the United States not remembering the Long Beach port and instead of finding something to cover for it, just saying, and another port in the area. Instead, he goes, what am I doing here? And Anderson Cooper jumps in to save him, as our media members typically do. Then we had this weird image of Joe Biden clenching his hands for no reason, as though he has like a vest strapped to him and the button in his fists. I don't know, like, what is he even doing here? Here's Anderson Cooper asking him a question. And the visual is the president of the United States holding his arms at 90 degrees and clenching his fists with his thumbs up as though he is going to clock in on Jeopardy for the hot round of questions.
About that, with just in terms of inflation, because you had told us at a town hall, I think it was in July, that this was just near-term inflation. The Wall Street Journal recently talked to like 67 financial experts who said that they saw high inflation going all the way or deep into 2022.
What is he doing? He's kind of staring off into the distance and clenching his fists. So one of two things is happening. Either the president of the United States is losing it, or he is Cornholio in search for TP for his bunghole. Those would be the only two possible options here. I do not know what the president of the United States is doing here. Remember every time Trump did something weird, people would like jump on it and it was evidence that he was crazy and that they needed to use the Constitution to get rid of him. And what is he doing? What is he doing? And then he did the weird, creepy whispering routine. I don't know who once told Joe Biden that it is a good political tactic to creepily lean forward and whisper. But that's what horror movie villains do, right? That's where they've got the victim tied to a chair and they lean forward and they're like, tell me about your mother. So now you have the president of the United States doing this. Here we go.
Now, here's the deal, though. You have 55 corporations, for example, in the United States of America, making over $40 billion. Don't pay a cent. Not a single little red cent. Now, I don't care. I'm a capitalist. I hope you can be a millionaire or a billionaire. Not a problem. But at least pay your fair share.
Don't pay a cent. What's going on with this guy? Why do you... Okay, so here's the problem for Democrats. The only person who has the leverage to actually force through Joe Biden's crappy plans. Joe Biden is trapped. Okay, his plans suck. And if they are effectuated, then it's going to be bad for the economy. He himself is admitting he's going to create labor shortages if his plans actually work. It is not going to create more jobs. It's going to create fewer jobs. He's going to be paying people to stay home. He's going to be paying people not to enter the workforce, but instead to go to community college to major in lesbian dance theory. Okay, this is the president of the United States' actual plan. So if he succeeds, he fails. And if he fails, he also fails. And right now, he has no leverage inside his own party. Democratic voters are getting very upset with Joe Biden because they feel like he's not able to use his leverage. But he doesn't have leverage, guys. You elected a guy with no leverage. Again, the only thing that Joe Biden had leverage for was the things like the bipartisan infrastructure plan. But he has a narrow majority, and the progressives are holding up the deal on that. So he has no leverage. He has 50 seats in the Senate, which means he has no power. And in the House, he has a very narrow majority and a fractious coalition. It turns out the governing is real tough. And Joe Biden, again, he doesn't have the capacity to actually broker deals because he is not there. He's not there. According to the Wall Street Journal, Democrats in Washington remain divided over the scope of President Biden's expansive domestic policy agenda. But their voters, both moderates and progressives, have largely rallied around the push to increase government spending and say they worry lawmakers will fail to come to an agreement. Several recent polls bolstered by interviews with more than 50 Democratic voters across six swing states in recent weeks indicate broad party support for legislation to expand social safety net programs and pass measures aimed at mitigating the effects of climate change. Democratic leaders have proposed paying for well over $1 trillion in expanded government services, in part by higher taxes. Top Democrats acknowledge that would have been considered too liberal a few years ago. Now they say it has broad party support. But they don't actually have the support of Manchin or Sinema. According to Politico this morning, neither Manchin nor Sinema are on board with the big spending, big taxation plans that Joe Biden is pushing, which is a disaster for him. And he really has no choice. I mean, Joe Manchin came out yesterday and he said, let's pause this thing for 6 months. According to Axios, Joe Manchin said, quote, we shouldn't do it at all. Apparently, Bernie had said, let's spend $6 trillion. And Manchin said, how about zero? And then Manchin said this will contribute to inflation. We've already passed the American Rescue Plan. We should just pass the infrastructure bill and, you know, pause for 6 months. Yep. Joe said, I'm comfortable with nothing. Joe, and by the way, Joe Manchin has no incentive here. Manchin yesterday said, I'm a centrist, deal with it. You know, the fact of the matter is that he is from West Virginia, a state that went for Donald Trump by something like 40 points. The fact that there's a Democrat from West Virginia in the Senate is a weirdness of history in and of itself. Manchin knows that, and he knows the minute that he votes for this bad Biden bill, he's done as a senator. He will not win re-election in West Virginia. Here he is basically acknowledging that.
Did anything that was ever said, that we've ever talked about, if I'm an embarrassment to my my Democrat colleagues, my caucus, the president being the Democrat, the leader of the Democrat Party, Chuck Schumer and all them, and I said, me being a moderate centrist Democrat, if that causes you a problem, let me know, and I'd switch to be an independent, but I'd still be caucusing with Democrats.
Both Sinema and Manchin have basically said that they are not in favor of massive tax increases. Those seem to be largely off the table at this point. But meanwhile, it's such a divide inside the Democratic Party. And normally the president bridges those divides, right? The president brings everybody together inside his own party. Not so with regard to President Biden. And this is leaving the so-called moderate senators not knowing which way to turn. A good sort of bellwether for this is Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. So he is the Senate Majority Leader. He has been reelected to his Senate position several times by wide margins. Now he's running so scared of the AOC wing of the party that he announced he was endorsing India Walton to be mayor of Buffalo, giving the winner of the Democratic primary a crucial boost only days before early voting begins in her race against Mayor Byron Brown. Schumer's decision gave Walton backing from a centrist Democrat at a time when other figures like Governor Kathy Hochul and Representative Brian Higgins of Buffalo refused to take sides in a battle between an upstart primary winner and a four-term incumbent who's waging a write-in campaign. That's because India Walton's like an actual honest-to-God socialist. So Schumer endorsed her because he was afraid that he'd be outflanked by AOC and then Walton would go ahead and win the election. So now he is feeding the alligator. They're all feeding the progressive alligator. Because normally the person who would be able to stand up to the alligator is the president of the United States, and he is too busy sleeping and taking his early afternoon nap before watching the rerun of Matlock. So well done, everybody. Now, meanwhile, we have the amazing spectacle. This should be the top story in the country. It is not, however. The NIH has now admitted to funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Okay, isn't that a major story? We'll get to that in just 1 second first. Let's talk about a simple fact. If you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance for your family. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Getting started, super simple. First, head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro in minutes. You can work out just how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius does not add on extra fees. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, the actual biggest story of the day. It turns out the NIH was indeed funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
It's Super Saturday, October 30th, at Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. The Sikh Center Anderson, in partnership with Anderson RX and Anderson Medical Associates, team up to host a COVID-19 vaccination clinic from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Sacred Heart Parish at 3141 St. Stephen's Drive off of Stingy Lane in Anderson. Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines will be available. Come and get vaccinated on Super Saturday and enjoy free food while organizers hand out Dutch Bros, Walmart, and Starbucks gift cards. It's the Super Saturday Vaccination Clinic, October 30th, from 8 to 3 at Sacred Heart Parish in Anderson.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back
to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and The Deep Thought and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Traitors still ain't one, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only about it, God can't about it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, as it turns out, remember all those fibs about how the American taxpayers were not sponsoring gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology? Remember Fauci kept saying that? Yeah, he was lying. That ain't true. A top NIH official admitted in a Wednesday letter that U.S. taxpayers funded gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses in Wuhan and revealed that EcoHealth Alliance, the U.S. nonprofit that funneled NIH money to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, was not transparent about the work it was doing. Now, shouldn't this be the biggest bombshell in America? That your federal your dollars were funding the Wuhan Institute of Virology to perform gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses. Now remember, the lab leak theory was a conspiracy theory. It was labeled such by all of the elitists in our society. It was labeled as such by social media. You weren't supposed to discuss it. It was very bad. It was anti-Chinese racism to even mention it. And if you mentioned that the NIH, under the auspices of people like Dr. Fauci, was funding gain-of-function research. If you did that, this meant that you were some sort of crazy conspiracy theorist. Well, now the NIH is admitting it. And now gain-of-function research, for those who don't know, is where you take a virus that is not transmittable to humans, and you make it transmissible to humans. This is in sort of the colloquial sense. The very technical sense is where you make a virus that is transmissible more transmissible. So what Fauci had been arguing for a while here is that it is not gain-of-function research to take a bat coronavirus and make it applicable to humans. Okay, that is a distinction without a difference. That is idiotic. You'll remember that he had a knockdown, drag-out fight in the Senate in which he admits that the Chinese could have used money for gain-of-function research.
You gave them money, and you said, don't do gain-of-function research.
Correct.
And they said, we won't.
Correct.
And you have no way of knowing whether they did or not, except you trust them. Is that right?
Well, we generally always trust the grantee to do what they say, and you look at the results.
Have you ever had a grantee lie to you?
I cannot guarantee that a grantee has not lied to us, because you never know.
You never know. Well, I mean, I think it's a pretty good indicator that you shouldn't be giving money to the Chinese government. In a letter to Representative James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, Lawrence Tabak of the NIH cites a, quote, limited experiment that was conducted to test if, quote, spike proteins from naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulating in China were capable of binding to the human ACE2 receptor in a mouse model. The lab mice infected with the modified bat virus became sicker than those infected with the unmodified bat virus. That revelation vindicates Rand Paul, who got into heated exchanges with National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease Director Anthony Fauci during his May and July testimonials before Congress over that gain-of-function question. At the second hearing, Paul accused Fauci of misleading Congress by denying the United States had funded gain-of-function projects at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. In keeping with Fauci's refusal to use gain-of-function terminology, Tabak also avoids the term, though the work he describes matches its commonplace definition precisely. A previously unpublished EcoHealth grant proposal filed with the NIAID, obtained by The Intercept, had already exposed that almost $600,000 of the total grant to the Wuhan Institute of Virology was for research designed to make viruses more dangerous and or infectious. Richard Ebright, biosafety expert, professor of chemistry and chemical biology at Rutgers University, had previously rebutted Fauci's claim that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology as, quote, demonstrably false. Ebright told National Review, the NIH-financed work at the WIV epitomizes the definition of gain-of-function research, which deals with enhanced potential pandemic pathogens, or those pathogens resulting from the enhancement of the transmissibility and or virulence of a pathogen. Apparently, TABIC also revealed that EcoHealth failed to comply with its reporting requirements under the grant. EcoHealth was required to submit to a secondary review in the event of certain developments that might increase the danger associated with the research. So, when Wuhan researchers successfully bound a natural bat coronavirus to a human ACE2 receptor in mice, they were supposed to inform the NIH, and then they didn't. And that is a full-scale disaster area for the NIH and for Anthony Fauci. Because now, you have to ask, okay, so they took a bat coronavirus, they bound it to a human ACE2 receptor. We're supposed to believe that this then naturally occurred in the wild, that it wasn't a lab leak? And that sort of research that we were funding had nothing to do with the death of millions of people around the world should give us a different perspective on whether we ought to be doing business with China, should certainly give us a different perspective on whether the experts ought to be trusted on this stuff when they have been lying to us consistently. You want to talk about the blowout of institutional trust? You have Dr. Anthony Fauci presiding over an agency that was, in fact, funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology now, according to these new communications, lying to the American people about it, and then proceeding to take every possible position on every possible issue throughout the pandemic. And then when people have doubts, they're like, well, I don't know why you don't trust us. You need to trust us. Okay, so Fauci's new push and the push of this administration is to get kids vaccinated. Now, if you think for one solitary second that the push to get kids vaccinated ends with your kids unmasking in school, you're out of your mind. It ain't going to happen. The reason it ain't going to happen is because, as we already know, the virus is still infectious. Even if you are a vaccinated person, the CDC has been urging you to continue to mask up. And Rochelle Walensky said over the weekend that if your kid gets a vaccine, then your kid should continue to mask up in perpetuity forever. So what exactly is the strong case for kids getting vaccinated? Well, Fauci says we have to stop kids from getting the disease at all. Zero COVID is not a thing, guys. Zero COVID is not a thing. The reason that you get vaccinated is so you don't get hospitalized or die. The chances of being hospitalized or dying as a child are lower than your chances of being hospitalized or dying if you are a vaccinated adult in the vast majority of cases. Here is Dr. Anthony Fauci trying to promote kids getting vaccinated. Again, I'm not saying kids shouldn't get vaccinated. I'm saying that the governmental mandates that are sure to follow this, and they will come, are utterly out of line with both the science and with basic human decency. Here is Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Talking about kids ages 5 to 11, and that's something that will be considered very soon, and perhaps given an emergency use authorization very soon. How concerned are you that parents are going to stand in the way of children getting these vaccines?
Well, I hope not. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we want to make sure that we outreach to the parents with trusted messengers. Particularly, some of the most trusted messengers are the family pediatrician, who most parents have a good deal of confidence in. And we're trying to get people to realize it is for the benefit of the children as well as for the entire family unit to get the child vaccinated. The vaccinations and the vaccines in question are highly, highly effective and safe. So there's really no reason not to.
Okay, I mean, a few reasons not to are that kids are basically safe from hospitalization and death from COVID without the vaccine. We have no longitudinal data. The entire study sample size was about 2,300 kids. Myocarditis only appears in 1 in 9,000 kids. So the sample size isn't even big enough for you to determine what the alternative symptoms are. It's one thing to risk the possible cost of the vaccine downstream for people who have a higher level of risk of hospitalization or death. When you're talking about kids, most of whom are asymptomatic, you have to make a pretty strong case as to why kids should get vaccinated. And the case that they might infect adults, I'm sorry, this is endemic. This is endemic now. It is, in fact, probably more likely that adults are going to infect kids. Most of the outbreaks that we've seen in schools are coming from teachers to the kids, not the other way around. Okay, but Anthony Fauci has to push this. And so he's also been pushing the notion that, for example, the spike that we are seeing in Britain right now is due to kids, right? So he said this, quote, what they are seeing is spread among children, which for the most part, at least 50% is without symptoms. But children are then spreading it to members of the family. So they're seeing people get infected. So right now they're reexamining what their policy is going to be about vaccinating children, right? So he's blaming a current UK spike on the unvaccinated kids. except for the fact that the people who are being hospitalized and dying are unvaccinated adults and or vaccinated adults who had the vaccines a long time ago and happen to be old. Right? That's where the real danger lies. But instead of focusing on the adults, we're going to go after the kids. Why you would trust these people? I just don't understand. I really don't understand what they have done to earn your trust. So if you talk to your family pediatrician and your family pediatrician recommends the shots, listen to your family pediatrician. But why you would trust Anthony Fauci on a blanket level here is beyond me. And why you would trust political actors is really beyond me. So you have Jerry Nadler, for example, yesterday in the House, they were having some sort of committee meeting. And Jerry Nadler starts calling out the Republicans who are not masking on the committee.
I would remind all members that guidance from the Office of Attending Physicians states that face coverings are required for all meetings in an enclosed space, such as committee hearings, except when you are recognized to speak. And that means you, Jim, and Marjorie, and Matt, and a lot of other people I can't recognize because of distance, etc. So please, everyone, observe that rule.
Okay, my favorite part of this is that literally half of the room is unmasked. Literally half the room. Also, I don't know why the rule is that you get to unmask when you speak. If we're going to be scientifically proper about this, when you're speaking is when you should wear the mask. That's when you're expelling spit. It's when you're aerosolizing the virus. But this is all political. It's all political, and it drives me up a damned wall. There is no consistency coming from the CDC. There's no consistency coming from the FDA. There's no consistency in what they hope is the pathway forward from the pandemic, because we all know at this point it's endemic. The only thing you can do if you're concerned is vaccinate yourself. If you're concerned for your child, go ahead and vaccinate your kid. And if you're not, don't. And that's the end of this. We are done, but not according to our public officials who maintain control in their sclerotic, pathetic hands. The more control you choose to give to moron politicians, the more control you choose to give to overarching authoritarian bureaucrats, the more you deserve to be controlled. And if you believe that they can save you from disease or save you from poverty or save you from the vicissitudes of life, you are out of your damned mind. You're crazy. The only thing that can save you from these things is good individual decision making, which is why I've encouraged individuals to get vaccines if they're in any way vulnerable. And it's also why I say that you need to perform individual risk assessment, because when you allow everybody else to control your life, it is worse for you and it is worse for everybody else. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. White House defending President Biden's pursuit of a smaller spending package.
In order to finalize a deal, the price tag on the president's massive health care, education, and climate bill is being slashed from $3.5 trillion to about $2 trillion. Liberals are unhappy, but White House spokesman Jen Psaki responds that compromise is not a dirty word.
We will get nothing if we do not have 50 votes. The alternative is not a larger package. The alternative is nothing.
She says budget negotiators are now going over the nitty-gritty details. Greg Clugston, the White House.
U.S. budget deficit totaled $2.77 trillion for 2021. That's the second highest on record, but an improvement from the all-time high of $3.13 trillion just last year. Also at townhall.com, Amazon once again a target of a union organizer.
This time it's a distribution center in New York City where organizers say they're preparing to deliver more than 2,000 signatures to the National Labor Relations Board. It would be an important milestone in efforts to form a collective bargaining unit for employees of the online retail giant. The Big Apple bids the second attempt in the past year to form a union at Amazon, but workers at a warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama, overwhelmingly rejected that proposal. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
California residents getting ready for a major storm moving in over the weekend. We'll be bringing a lot of rain, maybe even some flash flooding to areas that had been scorched by wildfires. Rain and snow likely to soak the north and central part of the state before spreading into Southern California by Monday morning. This week's storms, though, will not end the drought that's been plaguing California and Western states. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Whether you're vaccinated or not, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign of COVID and the flu, so make sure you use an accurate thermometer. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them and are not reliable. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Pfizer says kid-sized doses of its COVID vaccine, very safe. Here's John Scott with that story.
And nearly 91% effective at preventing symptomatic infections in elementary school children. Details of the study were posted online as U.S. regulators consider opening vaccinations to youngsters 5 to 11. The shots could begin early next month if regulators give the go-ahead. If the FDA authorizes the low-dose shots, the CDC will make the final recommendations on who should receive them. Full-strength Pfizer shots already are authorized for anyone 12 or older. John Scott reporting.
Another Michigan city is giving filters to residents as a result of high lead results in some drinking water samples. A Detroit suburb says 700 filters have been passed out as of Thursday. Another 900 will be passed out over the weekend. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Queen Elizabeth back at Windsor Castle following a short stay in the hospital.
Buckingham Palace confirmed that the 95-year-old monarch went to the private King Edward VII Hospital in London for what they are calling preliminary investigations. The test took place after she cancelled a trip to Northern Ireland to celebrate 100 years since its creation. The palace said the Queen reluctantly took doctors' advice to rest for a few days. She returned to her Windsor Castle home the following day and was understood to be back at her desk by afternoon, undertaking light duties. Karen Chamas, London.
Wall Street numbers for Friday. Dow Industrials gaining 74 points, closing the week at 35,677. NASDAQ dropped 125 Friday, closing at 15,090. The S&P 500 down just slightly. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Look, Biden's a simple proposition. Biden's going to get all the elements of these two bills have profound impact on economic growth, reduce non-crazy inflation, don't add a penny to the debt, as well as grow the economy.
Biden's going to get, he was referring to himself in the third person quite frequently last night, which is a peculiar idiosyncrasy, usually reserved for European royalty of the 18th century. Or, you know, Democrat Party leaders in 2021.
Look, Biden's a simple proposition.
Biden's a simple proposition. Well, as Biden's simple, I think we know that. Proposition or no proposition.
I would fact check that true.
He fight authority, authority always win. Well, happy Friday once again to you. We are at 888-630-9625. Lunch Bucket Joe on CNN last night with Manderson Hooper. They call it a town hall. It was a friendly little fluff fest. They had, you know, you remember when George Stephanopoulos corrected Barack Obama when Barack Obama was talking about his Muslim faith. And Stephanopoulos jumped in and said, your Christian faith. Yeah, oh yeah, my Christian faith. I know a lot of people make the same mistake.
John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith, and you're absolutely right that has not
Christian
come
faith.
My Christian faith.
Right, exactly. That's what I meant to say, was my Christian faith. Well, a couple of helpful assists from Manderson last night with, you know, like Long Beach, he couldn't remember because his brain, she's a broke, she's a no good. And he's stumbling all over the place. There are a lot of weird things Joe Biden introduced last night. He did the white power symbol. Did you see the white power symbol? You know, the okey-doke white power symbol. He did it around his eye like he was looking at a little girl that he wanted to sniff or something. And well, I wonder if Tara Reid was in the audience. Do you think Tara Reid was in the audience? Probably not. CNN probably didn't. It was invitation only. So everybody was clapping and happy, and they laughed at weird places like fire all the first responders. Yay! Woo! Yeah, oulations from the crowd because, you know, they love firing people. They give them some power and they'll abuse it. Give a lefty a thimble full of power, they'll abuse it before the sun goes down. And boy, we're seeing an awful lot of that. And yeah, Manderson helping them. Long Beach. Yes, Long Beach. That's what I'm trying to talk about.
40% of all products coming into the United States of America on the West Coast go through Los Angeles
the other place.
What am I doing here?
Is it Long Beach?
Long Beach, thank you.
Ah, Long Beach, thank you. Yeah, it's good to be a Democrat because Republicans don't get those kinds of assists from the news media because they're not members of the same party. You see, in the political party is first and last, always the most important thing. Again, I always like to say it's good to be a Democrat, and that's because, you know, it's good to be good because the Democrats, you know, then media, and then so what's the difference? They're there to fluff you.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, what am I doing here? Nobody knows. It's really difficult for anyone to say. Yet, and he's talking about the crowd cheers. Woo! Fire the police officers. Fire the firefighters. Fire the first responders. Fire the doctors and nurses who we now call workers. They're hospital workers, and fire them all because they do not comply. They do not submit. They do not kneel before Zod. That is pretty Democrat Party stuff in 2021. Also, the Washington Post today has a little item on page B3 in the local digest. Not a big story. Half of workers comply with mandate is the little headline in the digest. A little more than half of Baltimore City workers, not employees, have complied with the city's coronavirus vaccine mandate. It's a requirement, city officials said. 3 days after the mandate went into effect, you see, they said on Monday when the city's 14,000 workers were directed to report their vaccination status to the city. It turns out that about 48% had complied. They claim that has grown to 56% because it's mandatory, you know, and they're going to fire you. And, you know, they went from holding, you know, signs up cheering first responders and putting like real estate kind of signs in people's front yards, planting them in front yards. Thank you. First responder, I don't know if you noticed this, but they always left the police out of those signs. The police were never included in those signs because the party's anti-police, so they didn't want to thank police. But, you know, the police officers, so in Baltimore, they got a little more than half now. And that's, I guess, good enough. Just go to, because things are going so well in Baltimore, what could go wrong? Not a thing. It's like Chicago, same thing. It's like Seattle. It's like the state of Washington. It's like wherever left-wing Democrats are in charge, people are about to be fired by the thousands. I think it's a political cleansing by the left. They demand that you submit and demonstrate your fealty to the party and their edicts. Otherwise, they will take away your livelihood, your paycheck. No more G.I. Joe with Kung Fu grip. No more kids going to college. No more food on the table. I also saw in Maryland, Montgomery, and Prince George's County, they're planning on boosting the water, the cost of water, by 9% all at once. I think they've been increasing every year by 4% or something. Now they want to increase 9% all at once. Your gas prices are skyrocketing. You see the new gas price thing. Just crazy. And in California, they've got gas prices gone wild. It's, remember, what was that, Girls Gone Wild or something? Now they've got gas prices gone wild because the Democrats are in. And in a California city, they've got pictures of the gas pumps here. Premium gasoline is $8.49.9. $8.50, you know, if you round 49 cents and 9 tenths to 50. $8.50 a gallon. The unleaded plus, $7.99. 99.9 cents. It's always 0.9 cents, of course. And regular, $7.59.9. Regular gasoline. This is California. A lot of it has to do with taxation, of course, when it comes to California, because, you know, it's California and the Democrats and the taxes and all that stuff. So this is, and you know, the Washington Post admonished us earlier this week to just lower our expectations for America, for store shelves being stocked, for gasoline being readily available and inexpensive, as it was under President Trump, by the way, not so long ago, not even a year ago. It's the Democrat Party policies and Joe Biden policies that are driving prices up, driving inflation, devaluation of the dollar. Scott, you know, we had essentially energy independence a year ago. And then the Chinese communists were playing with germs at a little laboratory in a city called Wuhan. That caused a good deal of disruption. Also, we have a record number of ships sitting off of the west coast of the United States. It's Long Beach and Los Angeles. Joe Biden isn't quite sure what the names of those cities are or those ports because he hasn't been there and he doesn't know. Oh, also yesterday, last night with Manderson Pooper, he said that he had been to the border. But there is actually no evidence that he's ever been to the border, certainly not as president. He said he's been much too busy with all the hurricanes and all of his overseas travel. He did spend one weekend at a NATO G7 meeting, but that's it. That's the, you know, and Kamala, I think, still hasn't been to Europe. Am I right about that? Among other things. Joe Biden has spent 19 weekends in Delaware. He spent 10 weekends at Camp David. He spent 9 weekends at the White House, and he spent 1 weekend in Europe for a NATO G7 meeting. And he said last night he's much too busy to go to the border, although he said he's already been there. So it's two lies in one. Even CNN did some fact checks last night and came up with a long list of. Now they tried to smooth everything over for him because they're CNN, but I have these CNN fact checks in front of me, and on the CNN town hall meeting where Joe Biden said all kinds of stuff that is untrue, and we'll get into that. But Manderson was there to help him out if he slipped. You know, it's like up on Cripple Creek, right? If he springs a leak, they mend him. He don't have to speak. They defend him. A dunderhead's dream, if I ever did see one. I'm paraphrasing now from up on Cripple Creek. Yeah, so Biden details Democratic talks as party tries to secure his sweeping agenda. CNN wants to share with you. And good fact checks and all that stuff from the town hall. And he can't remember Long Beach. It's not like it's in the news or anything. I don't know why it'd be a thing. And we've had, we've had a lot of crazy going on around here. There was on the WNAL morning show here from the mothership, Larry O'Connor's, O'Connor and Company. There was a nice lady from Fairfax who went to a school board meeting last night who says that there were federal agents. There were federal agents outside the meeting, even though Merrick Garland yesterday on Capitol Hill said, oh, no, the terrorists? No, we're not investigating them. It's unclear, but it looked like there might have been commando-style SWAT teams fast roping from helicopters to come down and get the terrorists. And I just made up the last part. No SWAT teams fast roping. But according to one of the participants last night at Fairfax County School Board meeting, saying that there were federal agents in vehicles outside keeping an eagle eye on the situation because, you know, the terrorists. Now, forget about the border. You saw that there were, 49 Al-Qaeda people on the terror watch list that have been nabbed or identified in Panama that were blending in with the gang of Haitians by the tens of thousands. And by the way, Haiti is not in Central America or South America, but they've organized, or somebody has organized them, and they're headed this way. And never mind all the Al-Qaeda, the dozens of Al-Qaeda people detected, and because you're a racist is basically the response to that. Amazing. And speaking of Virginia also, McAuliffe, what a terrible person he is. He, Terry McAuliffe, he wants to be the governor again, because what else would he do? He's already gotten rich off selling the visas to Chinese nationals, you know, arranging them and getting paid for them. But setting that aside, the media is attacking Glenn Youngkin, saying that he's an anti-Semite. He's accused of anti-Semitism by the Democrat Party, no less, the anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, pro-Iran party. They, an open borders party and with Al-Qaeda just to our south. And, you know, then they call everybody terrorists because you go to school board meetings and sick the FBI and the Justice Department on you. And then they lie to you about it while under oath. But that really has no effect on anything these days. So Youngkin accused of anti-Semitism after claiming allies of Jewish donor George Soros, quote, inserted, end quote, operatives into Virginia school boards. Now, I love the fact this is the Washington Post story. They're a gang of hacks. And when the quote is, I love pointing this out because it's true. When the quote consists of one word, you know that they're trying to slip something past you here. And any reference to Jewish donor, why is he Jewish? Why isn't he just a donor? The Washington Post, obviously the anti-Semites here. George Soros, you know, any mention of this radical left-wing billionaire funneling money into local races all over the country, including, you know, city attorneys and prosecutors, where there are these radicals like Kim Fox in Chicago and the son of communists in San Francisco and the extreme leftist in Los Angeles and the crazy person in St. Louis, Missouri, that was, remember, pursuing the nice family who were standing in front of their own homes while mobs came by ripping their fence gates down and things. And they defend the mobs ripping down the fence gates. But if you step out on your front porch exercising your Second Amendment rights, then the Soros prosecutors come after you. It's not anti-Semitism, but the Democrats love calling everybody names and accusing people of being racist. Anti-Semites and racists, too. It's what they do. It's how they shut down conversation on important issues. How dare you mention George Soros? How many hundreds of millions has George Soros poured into American politics? Fair question, right? So now they're accusing him of anti-Semitism because he dared to use the name George Soros. It's their way of stifling conversation. One of many techniques that they use. Another one is, you know, the FBI and the Justice Department, and accusing you of being terrorists. That's another method. They have many methods for trampling free speech and shutting down public discourse on the important issues of our day. Yeah, it's terrible. George Soros. Amazing. Polls not good for the Democrats right now, but pay no attention. The media will be here to help me. Oh, and Alec Baldwin, the awful, terrible Alec Baldwin, shot and killed a woman on a movie set yesterday, shot and killed her because apparently he never got to sentence number one of gun safety practices. Firearm safety, just paragraph number one, and this never would have happened. Alec Baldwin killed a woman, the cinematographer of the woman, who's from Ukraine, killed her dead and wounded the director. This can't be good.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
If you're like most people, you're probably more than a little concerned about the state of the world around us today. Strange times. The stock market, all-time highs every day. U.S. debt, never been higher than it is right now. Dollar losing value, and let's not forget about inflation, the highest since 2008. Remember what happened in 2008? So how do you protect your money, your retirement, your savings? Well, many people, just like you and me, are turning to Old Faithful to protect themselves during these difficult times. Real gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group, the kind you can actually hold in your hand or have in your IRA. There's no time better than the present to protect your future and the future of your family. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-707-GOLD. They'll send you their free guide on investing in gold and silver and answer all of your questions. Protect your money before things get even worse. Call Oxford Gold today at 833-707-GOLD. Oxford is here to protect your savings and retirement. That's 833-707-GOLD.
Angie's List is now Angie, and caring for your home just got easier. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or a dream remodel, Angie makes it easy to see reviews, compare quotes, and connect with top local pros who can get the job done right. Plus, you can see upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. No phone tags, just the work you need done at a time that works for you. Angie's got your to-do list covered from start to finish. Book your next home project today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Daisy sheds like crazy. Our hairballs have hairballs. Marquette Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DinoVite.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dinovite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dinovite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dinovite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DinoVite.com.
Attention Americans 65 and older. The Medicare annual enrollment period for 2022 has begun. This is the only time to change your Medicare Advantage plan for a whole year. And SmartMatch Insurance is here to help. Do you currently have a copay? What about a high deductible? Do you pay extra for dental and vision? Are your out-of-pocket expenses just too high? If you answered yes to any of these, you should call SmartMatch. SmartMatch is like having a personal Medicare consultant who can help you find plans which include $0 copays, $0 deductibles, even $0 premiums, plus dental and vision coverage for no additional cost. Having the wrong Medicare plan can cost you thousands. SmartMatch makes it easy to find the right one with their free, smart, and unbiased help. If you find a plan you like, they can even enroll you on the spot. The Medicare annual enrollment period for 2022 ends soon. The service is free with no obligation, so call SmartMatch today. Call 800-991-2534. That's 800-991-2534. 800-991-2534.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At Finance Pal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At Finance Pal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized.
Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325.
Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
All right, tell you what, Michael, let's go to a phone call. We're going to get to Alec Baldwin. And remember that investigation into the Customs and Border Protection on horseback? Said they're going to have a speedy investigation, right? How long ago was that? We'll get to that. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Elizabeth calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Elizabeth, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. I'm pleased to be on. Elizabeth Schultz, I'm the former Fairfax County School Board member and former U.S. Department of Education official.
Excellent. Welcome. Thank you for calling in.
So I was at the quote-unquote protest last night, the rally outside the school board, and the call that you referenced from our earlier caller, Stacey Lankin. And we also happened to have been last weekend outside the steps of the DOJ for another rally. And I've done a lot of rallies outside the Luther Jackson Middle School where the Fairfax County School Board meeting are held. And I can tell you I have never seen a Federal Protective Services vehicle pass in front of the rally. I have never seen at least five unmarked vehicles pass in front of the rally, at least three marked vehicles, and not one, but two helicopters. So the likelihood that we would have that amount of presence when we had Federal Protective Service vehicles in front of the DOJ last weekend, we had a DOJ inspector with his notepad making copious notes who we went up to and spoke last weekend. So how is it that Merrick Garland can sit in front of a congressional hearing and say, we're not investigating parents, when we have a rally that has young men who don't have kids but graduated from the system and are concerned about what they saw when they were in school? We have grandmothers. We have current parents. We had special education teachers,
Elizabeth,
who are concerned about what their special education teachers are exposed, that children are exposed to. Yet there's this.
I'm sorry to say I'm up against the clock right now. Can you hang on through the break? Because I have a number of questions.
Will hang on.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
It's the Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Black Bear Diner is really spicing things up for the fall. Their classic homemade chili is back by popular demand. Grab a cup, bowl, or have it in their new chili cheeseburger. They've also added Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Wing Sauce to your choice of condiments. Spice it up at Black Bear Diner. Stop by 2605 Hilltop Drive right here in Reading or learn more at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, this is Billy Pilgrim from my buddy Doug Tooley from B&T 241-3474. You need to know that number, 241-3474, for the best service. Doug and his great crew at B&T makes TV so easy. They're the experts. They do TV wall mounts. They did one for us. TV antennas, surround sound. They can even set up your RV or set up your boat. Doug doesn't do dishes, but he'll dust behind your TV. So for all your TV entertainment needs, no matter what it is, call the local guys. Call my buddy Doug Tooley, the nicest man in the world, at 241-3474. 241-3474. They'll be there on time. They'll get the job done on time, and you're good to go.
With over 60 years of combined experience, let us, your locally owned TV guys, help you. We know what we are doing. You can trust us. Call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
Doug makes TV easy.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only buy the guy, can't buy the nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with the California Adventure District radio show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area, from climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m.
Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
All right, we are back, and on the line with us, I'm very pleased to say, we have Elizabeth Schultz, who is a now former school board member in Fairfax County, but on the school board from 2012 to 2019, I believe, and now a concerned American citizen. And the school board meeting last night at the Luther Jackson Middle School in Fairfax County, Elizabeth was just telling us there was a great deal of federal law enforcement present, and the Attorney General Merrick Garland, who's not a Supreme Court justice, thankfully, yesterday under oath on Capitol Hill said that they're not targeting parents, and really it's just specific threats of violence and speech is protected. But a protest outside the school, and protesters, Elizabeth Schultz among them, along with Stacey Larkin and others, they found, spotted five unmarked cars. I assume they're like black shiny Crown Vicks without a speck of dust on them. Hey, how could you tell they were unmarked cars if they're unmarked? It's generally pretty obvious. Three marked cars, the Federal Protective Service, and not one but two helicopters. It sounds like they're closing in on a terror cell. And really, I was mockingly talking about SWAT teams fast roping down from the helicopters, but it sounds like we're pretty close to that at the Fairfax situation last night. Am I right, Elizabeth?
You know, it was very strange. One of the marked cars was Federal Protective Services. The others were Fairfax County. But, you know, when we were down at DOJ, there were six DHS marked vehicles. And so to just see that degree of presence, and we were directly on the road. The cars passed directly in front of us. It's unequivocal, the number of unmarked vehicles that were passing in front of us. And those are even the ones that I caught. You know, I was obviously paying attention because we had a heightened sensibility about us based on what Merrick Garland, has done in putting a crosshair on the backs of parents.
Right.
And, you know, this is the thing is where is our voice allowed at a local school board meeting, and how is it that we have a federal Bureau of Investigation, a Department of Justice, inserting itself as a federal government between parents and their local representatives who are supposed to be focused on education? This is why this election on November 2nd in Virginia, between Terry McAuliffe, who said that we don't have a voice, we should not be telling schools what to teach our own children, why the U.S. Secretary Miguel Cardona, who sat in a congressional testimony and would not say that parents are the primary stakeholders in their own children's education, that they're just important. And yet you see the very next school board meeting that crops up, where there is advertised in advance that we're going to have another rally for parents to help parents have a voice. If they can't have a voice inside the school board meeting, we're at least going to give them the opportunity to have a voice outside. That all of a sudden there is a marked increase in police presence to include two helicopters repeatedly passing over in just the 1 hour slot before the school board meeting starts. This is beyond a chilling effect on the First Amendment. This is freezing out parents.
Now, I assume that you or someone photographed some of this or made video of some of this?
Actually, we didn't, because we were there holding an American flag on a 6-foot pole and a sign that says parents are not domestic terrorists. You know, but, you know, it got so bad at some point that when the next marked vehicle came past, we just started chanting back the blue because it was so ridiculous. You know, so I'm not afraid, but there are parents who are afraid. You know, there was a special education teachers who came out last night. They're afraid for their special education kids being exposed to this material. So there are some people that are unafraid, but there were people who wouldn't come downtown to DOJ last week because they were afraid. When you have six DHS marked vehicles in front of you, yeah. When you have a DOJ investigator walking up to you with his notepad making notes about you, yeah, this is beyond a chilling effect. And I can tell you, being at rally after rally after rally, we did not ever see what we saw last night. And there were plenty of people there who saw it. They can call in as well. But I don't know what Merrick Garland is up to. I don't know what the FBI is up to. I don't know what a federal other, you know, under the Patriot Act, what they're attempting to do. But we aren't going away, not in Loudoun County, where some of the parents filed a lawsuit against Merrick Garland, along with some parents in Michigan, over this, over his action and his letter. We're not going away in Fairfax County. We're not going away in the rest of Virginia. And I don't think that parents across the rest of the country are going to be chilled to the effect that they're not going to advocate on behalf of their own children. This is, right now, we're seeing at the epicenter in Fairfax County and Loudoun County the effects of what Merrick Garland and the National School Board Association has done. You have 17 state attorneys general who have stepped up and said that they were wrong to intervene. You have the Virginia School Board Association that has stiff-armed the NSBA, which is headquartered right here in Alexandria, Virginia, mm-hmm. and said, we don't want the federal government intervening between parents and children. We don't know where this came from. So where did the letter from the NSBA originate? Who caused that letter to come into fruition? Because it has changed the nature of the conversation in this country about who has the right to advocate for their own children. It is in the governor's race between Terry McAuliffe and Glenn Youngkin, and Glenn Youngkin is the only one who stood up and said, I'm going to back parents. Parents matter in this conversation. And if we don't make a different decision on November 2nd, we're going to Thelma and Louise it off the cliff in Virginia, and who knows what happens across the rest of the country. But we can't see what we saw last night at school board meetings ever again.
Now, I've got to say, photograph everything, make video of everything, go up and talk to the nice person in the Federal Protective Service car. A lot of people aren't familiar with FPS, Federal Protective Service. It is a federal law enforcement agency, one of like the 27 in the Washington area, metropolitan area. They provide security primarily to federal facilities and buildings and so on.
I think my friend Stacey Langton did take a picture of our Federal Protective Service friends. Okay. So I think there are some pictures. I didn't personally because I was busy holding up my American flag and getting lots of thumbs up, lots of horn toots, lots of smiles, lots of people passing in front of us on Gallows Road right there in Falls Church between the Fairfax County Public Schools headquarters building and the middle school where they hold school board meetings. Tons of support from people out on the road for speaking up for parents, speaking up for parents' rights, speaking up for First Amendment rights. So, you know, we feel the energy that the general populace says that this is not right. But, you know, behind the scenes, we get this ominous threat that, if you show up at your school board meeting, you're going to be watched. Yeah. You're going to be on a list.
Right, right. Well, and you're already being accused of being domestic terrorists by the federal government under Joe Biden and Merrick Garland. But let me just say, to clarify here, you said there were three marked cars. Now, two of those were Fairfax County police cars. One of them was the Federal Protective Service car, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then you say there were five unmarked cars. Now,
At least five.
At least five. And how do you know they were unmarked police cars? Were they all black Crown Vics with black walls and antennas, or what's the...
Combination. I was standing right on the curb. They passed directly in front of me.
Well, I got to say, everybody has a TV station in their phone. Document everything. It seems, you shouldn't really even have to bring it up. And there are helicopters overhead, this stuff. And maybe some of the people that were with you, did that, but that should be posted because this is an event. It's a happening. And, you know, the images are, the most important element of making your case. Cause, you know, the CNN will say, oh, tin foil hat, black helicopter crowd. There were no helicopters overhead. And, video. Puts that where it ought to be, back in its box. So, everything is photographed and made video of these days. So, I would just say at the next event, or find people that were with you that did take photographs or video and post that stuff, because you know that you're up against it when it comes to the phony baloney media, the Washington Post, the CNNs and ABC Newses of the world are going to roll their eyes and brush you back. But the video and the photographic evidence makes it undeniable, so it's obviously a pretty important element of making a case like this. Also, Elizabeth, did you see that the Daily Caller broke the story yesterday that the White House collaborated with the school board group, the National School Board Association, on the letter comparing parents to domestic terrorists? And apparently the White House had the letter from the National School Board Association before the Justice Department had the letter from the National School Board Association.
In advance.
Right.
In advance. You know, I think there's a few of us who called the ball on that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, it's an amazing thing. I know I've seen you on Fox News. We played audio of you from Fox News on our show before, and I couldn't be happier that you called in. I appreciate it. And I would just say, gather up whatever photographic evidence you and your compatriots gathered. I know you didn't do any yourself. And post it, because it's called proof, and it's very important, because that you don't have a lot of allies in the media. And you have to be able to make your case, and photographic evidence is vitally important. So you see unmarked cars, make video of the unmarked cars. Go over and say hello to the nice people. The police are not the bad guys here. They're being dispatched by these corrupt senior government officials. And, overall, and certainly overarchingly, the police are, they want to do the right thing. And their masters, these Democrat Party apparatchiks in Washington, are devious, sinister, corrupt figures engaging in devious, corrupt, and sinister activities. And if you're going to say that they are, then provide all the evidence that you can. That's all I can say. So
we wholly support our police, and in fact, it could be very possible they were there to protect us. I hold that out, and I congratulate them for that. If they were there to protect us, what were they there to protect us from?
Well, and the Fairfax.
There's all kinds of questions that are begged from last night's presence. And,
sure.
We'll look amongst us for those of us who had the presence of mind, instead of just being there to support the First Amendment, support parents' rights.
You see this thing happening, you've got to document it. Everything is documented everywhere all the time, I think. And the unmarked cars may have been county cars. You want to know and get the license plates. Are they federal license plates? Are they Virginia license plates? This is important stuff to document this, because if the government is lying to us, you have to be able to say, no, we didn't send anybody. And then here are the pictures. Here's the video of the people at the school. I would expect a couple of Fairfax County police officers to be there, because, it's a school board meeting and everybody's up in arms about all this, and the Democrats are making a federal case out of all of it and everything. But it is a remarkable story. And I honestly would just, I don't know if there's a Facebook group or a Twitter thread or something, ask people to post photographic and video evidence of what you witnessed last night, of the unmarked cars, of the helicopters, of the Federal Protective Service car. Because otherwise, you're going to be dismissed, tinfoil black helicopter crowd. So you got to be able to prove it when you say that. And it's easy enough. Don't have to hire, Alec Baldwin's film crew or anything to show up. Elizabeth Schultz, thank you very, very much for calling in. I appreciate it. And I'll look forward. Surely somebody, everybody's always got their phones up and taking pictures and making videos all over the place, and helicopters are overhead and all this stuff. Doubtless some people made some kind of video document of it. And I would advise posting, in large part, I'd like to see it myself. Just start with that. I'd like to see it myself. But Elizabeth Schultz, thank you very much for calling in. Fairfax County School Board meeting last night, well attended apparently by law enforcement and perhaps federal law enforcement, according to Elizabeth, at least one Federal Protective Service vehicle. with people in it, unless it's a drone, but I think it is. And Elizabeth Schultz talking about it, beyond chilling. And last week at the Justice Department, you know, the old the apparatchiks with the clipboards coming around. Really, we're turning into East Germany because the left is here. These aren't liberals. This is the left. It's a completely different ball of wax. My beloved departed mother was a liberal. She wasn't a fascist. She wasn't a Stalinist. But these people today, she wasn't a leftist. These people today, different stripe altogether. We are, of course, at 888-630-9625. Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
If you're like most people, you're probably more than a little concerned about the state of the world around us today. Strange times. The stock market, all-time highs every day. U.S. debt, never been higher than it is right now. Dollar losing value, and let's not forget about inflation. The highest since 2008. Remember what happened in 2008? So how do you protect your money, your retirement, your savings? Well, many people, just like you and me, are turning to Old Faithful to protect themselves during these difficult times. Real gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group. The kind you can actually hold in your hand or have in your IRA. There's no time better than the present to protect your future and the future of your family. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-707-GOLD. They'll send you their free guide on investing in gold and silver and answer all of your questions. Protect your money before things get even worse. Call Oxford Gold today at 833-707-GOLD. Oxford is here to protect your savings and retirement. That's 833-707-GOLD.
Okay, my shipments have to get to customers on time and looking good.
It's possible with Staples Connect. Staples Connect has small business shipping covered with premium shipping supplies and UPS shipping services. And now, buy two, get one free on select shipping supplies like bubble roll and premium shipping boxes. Plus, get 20% off UPS Express shipping services. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Ends 10/30. Visit staplesconnect.com/shipping for details.
What can give you a competitive edge in today's red-hot housing market? Rocket can. That's because Rocket Mortgage can give you a verified approval. It could help your offer stand out. Rocket Technology provides a rock-solid verification of your income, assets, and credit, giving sellers greater confidence in you. Go to rocketmortgage.com or call us today at 833-8-ROCKET.
A verified approval is based on an underwriter's analysis of your individual financial information, appraisal, and title report. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAssets.org number 33.
I love the Army. You just have this brotherhood that you can't find anywhere else. Since coming home from war, I've tried so many different things. I just remember thinking, like, it's over.
After being forced to medically retire, Angie battled addiction to prescription medications, eventually losing her house and marriage. Then she found Wounded Warrior Project.
And so I went online, I signed up, and I knew that Wounded Warrior Project was definitely my new community. One of the staff members, she put me in for peer mentor training. It was like for the first time someone recognized something good about me and thought that I had something to give back to someone else. Are you doing okay otherwise?
I've kind of picked up woodworking with my grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
So
I saw 3D stuff.
All those activities gave me a new way to live without drugs, a new way to live without feeling like I'm broken. You can live a meaningful life after traumatic experiences.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Now, I've just received a photograph that was tweeted out of a Federal Protective Service car. Federal law enforcement agency Stacy Langton posted the photo from the Fairfax County School Board meeting. So there's one bit of documented evidence. Good, good. Helicopters, unmarked cars. Let's get it documented. Vitally important. Of course. All right, let's go back to the phones. You know, there's a poll that came out yesterday, Grinnell University, Grinnell College poll, that found that 7% of Americans have high trust in the federal government. 7% of us, only 14% of Democrats have high trust in the federal government to offer good ideas to solve problems facing their communities. 7%. Thanks, Joe Biden. All right, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Marco, calling from Springfield, Virginia. Marco. Hey, Marco.
Hi, Chris. Hey, Chris. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Just got off the treadmill, so I sound a little winded. I am so sick and tired of the deception coming from these loons, from the president on down. I saw a commercial for our terrible attorney general, Herring, who claimed that 5 police officers died on Insurrection Day. Was that 5 police officers nationwide? Because as far as I know, only 1 police officer died, and it was totally unrelated to the insurrection itself.
He died of a stroke the next day. Officer Brian Sicknick died the next day of stroke. In the hospital,
right.
And the media tried to claim that he had been hit in the head with a fire extinguisher that was beaten down. You know what they're counting here? Because there's a Mediaite story from earlier this week, Marco, that says they were attacking people for being at a Trump rally and waving an American flag. And they said, and they described it as a, quote, peaceful protest, end quote, which it was, as opposed to a riot that Mediaite calls peaceful. Despite the fact that 5 police officers died as a result of the gruesome riot, all right? And, you know, they're saying there were 2 police officers in the next month or so died of suicide, tragically, which is I mean, let's go ahead. Let's apply that standard to the left-wing riots across the country for the last 2 years and count every suicide of a police officer in any city where there was a riot within a month of the riot. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's also throw in the fact that they've had suicide attackers, the Democrat Party. I can think of 3 suicide attackers that in New York. Ishmael Brinsley went up from Maryland, killed officers Ramos and Lou in their car, and went into the nearby subway stop and shot himself in the head and killed himself. It was a police double homicide suicide attack. In Dallas, what was his name? Mike Xavier Johnson murdered 5 police officers, wounded, died more. Suicide by cop. Another suicide attack on police, mass murder police by another Democrat in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then they try to pretend that 5 police officers were killed by using weaselly language, like 5 police officers died as a result of the gruesome riot. Now, one, again, died of natural causes the next day. Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed by a police officer while unarmed, 14-year Air Force veteran. That was the one death deemed a homicide.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.